It's gorgeous weather out there.
Things could not be better. Little did we know that we were less than an hour away from a letdown and less than 2 hours away from walking off the set.
From feeling like we could not have been more unwanted. And, you know, I know that there were people there that tried to make us feel like we were important. We saw through it.
No, we're not.
We knew we weren't wanted there.
But there's a lot of space, a lot of ground to cover here, a lot of things to talk about.
Yes, there is, but we weren't wanted.
No, we weren't.
Not at all.
I did spend the night at Leah's house, and I'll tell you all about that, too.
Good. She's still the sweetest thing in the whole wide world.
She's great.
Good.
You got to see her first thing in the morning. That's all I want to say. The bloom is off the rose just a little bit. Because I saw her first thing in the morning, puffy and no makeup and hair pulled up in a ball in the back of her head.
Good morning, sunshine.
Yeah. And there's nothing like waking up to hear Leah Remedy hacking her brains out.
Ooh.
Which I woke up and I heard a lot of this.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. The life of a TV star. Okay, hold on a second. Oh, you got a tape? Oh, here's a tape of Leah Remedy. This is what it sounded like when she woke up on Saturday morning.
Oh, dear.
There she is, Leah Remedy. My sweetie.
Oh,
baby. Oh, baby.
Oh.
Oh, God.
John.
We don't know. John's somebody we don't know.
Listen, here we go. Time to just call in to win. Now, we do have a grand prize this week, thanks to the wonderful Tammy.
All right.
Who works up on the third floor with all the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the show this week that wins a prize qualifies for Friday's big giveaway. $1,000 in cash.
Serious money.
From onmoney.com.
All right.
So if you want a prize and a chance to win $1,000, be the 100th caller right now. Call Toya. Phone number 1-877-365-3630.
This is the...
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face-to-face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Here to solve the riddle of the tale, Don and Mike.
Do it again now. All right, first of all, let me tell you that we have been in contact with Wichita radio station KFA.
Good.
And, of course, we're told crap by people who call us. The deal is, this is definitive. I wrote it down to make sure I know it. At 7:15 on Friday night, 7:15, that's when the Cotillion will open the doors for the walk-in.
Excellent.
With an extra 500 tickets.
Wonderful.
Now, if you want to arrive early to make sure that you're in line to get one of those seats, more power to you.
Good.
So you don't have to show up in the middle of the afternoon. 7:15 on Friday night, and we'll hit the stage about 8:30.
We look forward to seeing you there.
So that's good news.
Very.
All the crap with the tickets solved.
Excellent.
Yes, they are going to do some of the ridiculous dog and pony show stuff where you have to go to the donut store and the liquor store. But
right.
As long as there's 500 tickets for walk-ups.
Excellent.
On Friday, that's all we care about. Thank you, KFH. See you there Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. What is your name, my friend?
My name is Greg Powell.
Greg Powell.
Yes, I'm from Ellicott City, Maryland.
All right, Greg.
Hey, I know that dude.
All right, Mom.
Hey. You guys are great. Love you guys.
My friend, you won a WCW Thunder prize pack. Don't miss WCW Thunder, Patriot Center, Tuesday, Goldberg, and many other wrestlers. Four seats, 202-432-SEED. But wait, there's more. You've qualified on Friday. We're giving away $1,000 cash from onmoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from onmoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and get your credit cards with money.com. Thank you, my friend.
Excellent, thanks.
Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode because that's when we're giving away the $1,000.
Excellent.
All right, let's get back to this trip to Los Angeles. So at this point, we're still happy.
Yeah, we're very, very happy.
We're happy. We're in the car. We're on the way there. We're making our way through. We're actually negotiating the traffic correctly. We're going the right way on Venice Boulevard.
Yeah, traffic is really cool. It's not as nuts as it normally is. We see some traffic on other roads that we drive by that's real heavy, but we're getting there. The directions are perfect.
Right. Mike's only problem is he's told Leah Remedy that he will buy her a present.
Yes, I have promised a gift, as you remember on the air. I told her that mm-hmm. I was going to bring her a gift, and I, of course, being the thoughtful person that I am, I don't remember that until we're probably... 15 minutes from getting to the studio, and I...
And it's, of course, in an area where we probably could have stopped and bought her a bag of crack more easily than you could have got her a gift.
I, you know, I'm thinking that we will go by someplace on the, you know, on the way, and about 5 minutes into the drive, I'm like, you know what I'll do? I'll get her a bottle of wine. Better yet, I'll get her a case of wine, because she made that big deal about how I bought her a bottle of wine and then drank it myself.
Good.
So that was my thought, was to get her a case of wine, and as we're getting probably 2 minutes away from the studios, we drive by this store, and on the top I see a sign that says, The Wine Merchant.
He says, turn around.
Stop the car!
Perfect. Go back. Go to the Wine Merchant. So
the Wine Merchant, I figure, is a big wine store.
Double park. Keep in mind that it's like in the worst neighborhood.
But it said the Wine Merchant, and that, you know what, I'm sure they've got a variety of cases of wine. And I walk in, and only when I walk in do I realize that the Wine Merchant is simply a name for the cheapo liquor store.
Right.
Because the Wine Merchant has a couple of bottles of wine, but it doesn't have wine by the case.
You said the man didn't speak the language well?
He did not speak English.
Oh,
and I'm trying to communicate to him that I want to get a case of wine, and it becomes evident that I said, may I have a case of wine, please? And I said, do you have
at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Do you have cases of wine? And he says, yes. And then he finishes waiting on another customer, and starts walking from behind the counter. And I'm like, hey, great, I'll be able to like look at the cases of wine. And that's the moment where he says, Corona. I said, no, not beer, wine. He said, oh, no. and that was the gist of our conversation. And I look at the fine selection of Thunderbird and Ripple, and I decide at that moment that it's time to leave the Wine Merchant because he really doesn't have any wine at all.
So he goes back to the car.
I'm angry. I'm muttering at this point. I'm very frustrated.
He gets in the car.
Yeah, and then we take off again. And at this point, we're 2 minutes from the studio. We get to the outside of the studio, and I'm still lobbying for stopping somewhere where we can get her a gift.
All I see are like surplus stores.
It's a horrible neighborhood.
There's a big Goodwill store. There's a thrift shop.
There is nothing. And then we go to the gate, and because at this point it's like, to hell with it, you know, I'll get her a gift later. We pull into the gate. We're at the wrong gate.
Of course we are.
So Don has to hang a U-turn, and at this moment I'm thinking, oh, there's still a chance I can get her this gift. And we go around, and as we go around the block, there's another liquor store. It looks even worse than the first one, but I insist, stop the car! So he stops the car, and I run in, and I meet another person who is, well, let's just say our language of English here in the United States is not the first language
of
choice. Speaking, mm-hmm. And so there's a little communication problem. At this point, I look up on the top, and what do they have? They do have some nice bottles of champagne.
Okay.
I ask for the best.
Nice being
nice.
A relative term.
Yeah, when you think of an incredible bottle of champagne, you think, I guess, Dom Perignon.
Sure.
Which, it's Leah Remini. I'm going to spare no expense for this gift. But they didn't have that. They had Merci Blah 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 champagne for, I think, about...
$37.
$37.
You told me as you were peeling the price tag off.
It's up, and they've got it, like, supported by this wire up in the corner, and she, so I say, what is that your best bottle of champagne? And she says, yes, it is. And I have to come out and get it for you. And she undoes the four locks that she has in her little bulletproof cubicle and comes out from around and gets me this bottle that has not been, I'm guessing, touched in 7 years. It's got dust and crap all over it. But I'm like, hey, you know, what the heck? It's nice to come with something. And at that moment, I say, hey, here's something really special. This will kick the gift over the top. I buy her a pack of smokes. And so
kick it up a notch.
And
sure.
I gift wrap it. I put it in a brown paper bag with the pack of smokes. And I'm happy because I have the gift for her.
A gift to present her.
A gift that's, you know, she's really into that, the thought that counts.
Yes,
and I
figure
I'm going on this 100%. And I have my gift, and we go back to the studio.
So we make our way to the gate, and we find out, well, first of all, we find out how goddamn easy it is to get on a movie studio set and a TV set that we just
amazed me.
We pull up, we're in suits, we have a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. We say, yeah, we're here for King of Queens, set 28. And Mike says, yeah, we're Don and Mike show. The guy looks on the list and goes, yeah, all right, go ahead. Park anywhere above the fourth level.
Bingo. We're in.
So we're in. We're executives. We're in.
Absolutely.
We get in, we park the car, we get out, we're walking around the lot. Mike's holding this bottle in a brown paper bag.
And it just ticked me off because the gift wrap, and you can call it a brown paper bag. I call it the gift wrap.
And the,
starting to rip. The cigarettes ripped through the, because there's not enough room for both.
Right.
And so I'm trying to support this thing with two hands as we're making our way to the sound stage.
Now, at this point, we're still happy. Okay, we're still very giddy. We get to the stage. We remember where it is. Big sign, King of Queens.
It's cool. You're there. It's Hollywood. You're on a major studio lot. There are all these sound stages, prop guys, people walking back and forth. You're in it. You're in the Hollywood machine.
We walk in the door, and one of the associate directors is Guy Chris, one of the people that was nice to us. He recognizes us right away.
He's one of the guys that I find no fault with.
He says, hey, Don and Mike, welcome. Glad you're back.
Right.
And we say, nice to see you again.
He said Don and Mike, which blew us away. That's, you know, nice. That he remembered us. It was very, very cool.
It's all downhill from there, buddy.
That is the only moment.
Hold off on the that's nice, because that's probably going to be the last time you
hear that. Your ass it is.
So he says, listen, guys, just get situated. They're doing a run-through right now, and we'll come get you in a minute. Just hang around. Get something to eat if you want something to eat. So we're standing there, and then around the corner comes Leah. And we say hello to her, and we get, you know, the peck on the cheek from her. And Mike presents her with a gift.
Yeah, very nice gift. And she says, wow. And she takes the champagne out and the smokes. And it becomes evident right from that moment, she's busy today. She's right. Got a lot that she's going to need to do.
She's working. She says she was up till 1 o'clock the night before. They were doing the script, and she's off. So
she kind of said that during one of our conversations on the air. She had said, you know, when I said, hey, you're not going to mind us hanging out, she said, well, I'm going to be busy. It was all the difference. I think she was maybe in three scenes, and in this episode, she was in all of the scenes.
Mm-hmm. So she leaves.
Minus
and
one.
We're standing by ourselves. And we're just waiting. We're waiting for somebody to tell us what to do. And at this point, we're still happy.
Right.
Because we're walking around like we're big shots. And
we go up into the seating area for the
bleachers.
The bleachers.
Where the audience sits.
This is the first time. Now, this is, Charlie has said to us, or somebody has told us, that they're not going to be any extras on this show.
That they're going to accommodate us on this episode.
That they're forcing extras into the scene. We become aware of the fact that this might be true when we see what really looks like a bus depot's luggage department.
I mean, an immigration department
right.
Come to life and sitting in the bleachers of King of Queens. And you want to talk about unattractive people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to say this. You and I am not kidding, we are Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid
right.
Of this crowd. We are Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. We are them.
Yeah.
We are so good looking compared to these mutants that are going to be in these scenes. And not only have we been told that there's no extras and they're going to do the special thing to accommodate us,
mm-hmm.
It's actually the opposite.
Yeah, there are probably 30 to 50 extras there.
Wow. I mean, serious.
It's a sea of extras. It's a restaurant scene where there are just tons of extras.
But still, we're still maintaining our good outlook.
We're cool, but already it's become evident that there's just a lot going on. Yeah. And we're a little nervous because it's not what we thought it was going to be already.
Okay, so now we're sitting up here.
Nervous, though, because we think, you know, everything will be fine.
We're sitting here with all these dirty people. And at one point, some other guy comes up, like another associate director. He says, you're Don and Mike, right? Okay, you're going to be in scene B, you're going to be in scene L.
Right.
You need to go to wardrobe, we'll come up and get you. And we said, okay, cool, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good again. They start doing the run-through, they start doing the scenes. Well, they're doing one of the scenes in the restaurant and nobody comes to get us.
We are just sitting there and we just watch this happening and they're bringing all the extras over there and they're sitting them in the restaurant. And at this point, I say to Don, I kind of thought we were supposed to be in the restaurant scene.
And I said, no, you know what? I said, how often does this happen that I'm the positive one? I said, you know what? No, they know we're here. The director came over and said something to us.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a dressing room.
Yeah, I said,
they know we're here. They'll come get us when it's time.
I said, I think we're getting lost in the shuffle. I really got that feeling.
You're watching on a monitor from wardrobe?
We're watching actually from the stand.
Okay.
The bleachers where they sit,
right.
And you've got all the sets in front of you. And you can watch the monitors, but you can see what's going on down to our right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're just sitting there. We're just sitting and no one comes over and says anything to us.
Yeah, which the last time it was made very clear where we were supposed to go. And keep in mind, this person with the headset on has said to us, I will come and get you when it's your time to be in the scene. And we're going on that.
And then he comes up and there's still about 30 people left. They got the 20 people for the restaurant scene and we're not among them.
No, and we're looking there and we're saying, I thought this is what we were going to do.
He comes up and he says, okay, now, where's my UPS guys? And I turned to Mike and I said, oh, that would be perfect for us. We're UPS guys.
Yeah, we said right away. In fact, we've said it when we watched the show. That's a perfect extra job, you know, because you're hanging out where Doug works and there are all these dumpy UPS guys.
And you get a lot of FaceTime and, you know, maybe you get a line or something talked to your way. Well, they say, where's the UPS guys? And again, you know, some more of the great unwashed put their hands up and say, you know, hey, it's me, it's me, it's me. And he says, okay, I'll take you. And you.
Meanwhile, these extras are going from one place to the next. They're going to wardrobe. They're coming back. They're getting into different costumes. They're flying around, and we're sitting basically on our hands with very little to do for a very... We're condensing this, but this was over a very long period of time.
3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours.
3 hours minimum. From 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock, we're just sitting on our asses, okay? So then, finally, somebody comes over and says to us...
It's that same guy.
Chris.
Yeah, Chris brings us down there, but it's the same guy with the green sweater who I felt from the moment we saw this guy. He walked up and he said, you guys are Don and Mike. And then after that, for whatever reason, his brain got scrambled or whatever. He forgot that we were even involved in this thing. And Chris takes us down to where Johnny Scatterbrained is. And this
not to be confused with Johnny Director, who we're going to get to in a moment. The director, Mr. I can't write and direct at the same time. This is what he's screaming. This guy, the director of the show, he's a big one at this.
Oh, God.
Quiet, quiet. Quiet in the back. I can hear that coffee machine. I need quiet.
This is a guy who looks like Pete Townsend of The Who.
And... Action!
So they take us down, actually, to the set where we're going to be in it, and they bring us down, and then Chris walks away, and we're waiting for the assistant. I guess it's the assistant director.
Yeah, and he comes up to us, and he says, you're Don and Mike, right? Now, keep in mind, this is the third time he said to us, you're Don and Mike, right?
And he takes off. We're standing, waiting, as they're blocking this. We're watching all of the seats in the restaurant be filled.
And now we've spotted what we think would be the primary table to have where we're going to get the most FaceTime.
Which is directly in back of Kevin and Leah.
Of course.
They have two extremely pretty people there. I mean, the best looking of all of
these. A girl and a guy.
These extras are sitting back there. But even with that, they're filling every table. Then the guy comes back and I think he said something to me like, have you guys gotten your locations yet?
And we said, no, you were supposed to put us in. He said, okay, hold on. I'll get right back to you.
He vanishes again. A-hole.
And still at this point, I'm still hoping out. You know, I'm like the positive one. I said, listen, don't worry. They wouldn't have brought us out here. They wouldn't give us a dressing room to jip us out of our time on the show.
And I'm starting to smell a rat. I am starting to smell a rat that first of all, the fact that we were coming out there, yeah, maybe some people know it, but there has been no discussion about where we're going to go in these scenes at all. It's just not even a thought.
Not to mention that it's disintegrated from Kevin telling us,
we're
going to write you into the show, and that you're going to be disc jockeys.
Now we're resigned. They make it clear to us that we're not going to have a speaking part. But we're like, hey, fine, we'll do it. We'll do what we did last time. You know what the hell?
We're here. Let's just do it.
Yeah. So we're standing there for what seemed like an hour as they're flitting around. Then he says, oh, now wait a minute. So he goes back. He comes back. He says, come here. We're going to do this. They bring us to the front of the scene, and they bring in an additional two chairs. Now, I have been looking at the camera angles because they're setting up these shots, and I have been observing where the cameras are going to be. I know from looking through those cameras that we are not... This isn't not just a bad location with
our... We're not even in the scene.
We're not even in the shot.
And to add insult to it, the guy sets it up so that my back is to... Keep in mind that the camera's not even going to get us. But if the camera was to get us...
You would get the back of Don's head.
Right.
And I'm off to the right at this table, which is the first table. You can't even see it in the shot. And at this point...
And we only know this because we've been there for 4 goddamn hours watching them practice this scene ad nauseum, standing behind the camera guys, looking on the monitor to see how this shot is going to look.
At this point, we realize that, A, we are the absolute... total afterthought, that this is not, that they just decided they throw this, and B, that, hey, tell them they're going to be in the shot when they're really not going to be. We're not that stupid, we're pissed at this point.
So now we're sitting. They're rehearsing the scene. We're sitting there, and I was getting so pissed. I'm so pissed. Mike's been pissed all day, and finally I'm catching up to him.
Yeah, because this, we're just, look, and you said this, and this is the one thing that we maintain. Guys, if you don't want us to come out there, if you don't have room for us in this show to be some stupid extra, you let us know before this, before the whole dog and pony show, let us know what's going on.
So we're, Mike and I are sitting having this discussion, sitting off camera with me with my back to the camera that won't even take our picture, and we're just doing it. And
we're both, you are catching up to me at this point because you know that we're that they are running
we're
a
screwed.
Game on us.
We're screwed.
Right?
I just turned to Mike and said, you know what? F it. You know
right.
what you should do? Let's just walk out. Let's just get up and leave. I mean, we don't need this crap.
Now, to give you a little background about this, extras on these shows are like the trained rats.
Right.
They go, they speak when they're spoken to, they go where they're supposed to go. Extras don't get up and walk out. We, at this point, you know, just decide, enough
said,
of this
said,
crap.
Said, let's just,
we've been here for 3 hours.
Let's go.
You know, they forced these, they pulled these chairs in that weren't even supposed to be in
so
the
we
shot.
We don't need this.
It's not worth it.
Let's just go. I mean, all the things are running through my head. I mean, what are we going to say today on the radio? Right. You know, we do a show for people. What are we going to say? Hey, we got all the way out there, but you're not even going to be able to see us on TV because they didn't put us in the scene. Well, no. Screw that. So we got up. And we very dignified just stood up
and said, "F it. We're not. This is such crap. Mm-hmm. It's such a horrible location. It's so terrible compared to what we did the last time. Even
which was no great shake, incidentally.
We were little schmoes last time, but now we're below that. And enough of this crap. You know,
so we get up and we walked off. And as we walked off, we were lucky enough that Leah Remini was standing right by the corner, and she said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're going for a walk." And then
we're real nice because, you know, the whole feeling during this whole thing is not to burden them.
Right.
But I say to Don as we're walking by, even though I say we're not going to burden them, I just said it, I guess, loud enough for probably everybody here. I said, you know, who needs to see the back of our effing heads? I mean, what's the point?
And we get out and we walk.
We take
up.
A walk. We walk literally out of the soundstage. We walk onto the studio lot. We walk, you know, we just start walking.
And to quote the great Martin Luther King, free at last.
Right.
Free at last. We left that studio and seriously we said, you know what?
It was the best we'd felt all day because it was such...
I said, forget them.
Relief. You know, they are obviously doing their thing. They've got their thing to do. The only issue we had with these people were if you're going to have us come out there, you know, and I don't, you know, we're not going to point fingers at Kevin or Leah. They're the ones that are really out there busting their butts to do this show. They're running lines, they're rehearsing, and
they both profusely apologized to us later, and I think that they really meant it.
They really meant it. I think they're good people, and they really are, and they've been good to us. The problem lies in when you get into this little machine, and I tell you, in my opinion, we don't have any direct evidence of this, but I do believe that this director, who literally didn't even want to look at us.
Pete Townsend, you mean?
Yeah. Right. I think it might have come down from him during this, that all these assistant directors were dealing with that. But we walk out of that soundstage, and we are just, that's the best we felt.
We're happy.
We finally made a fist and just said, hey, F you,
now
Hollywood.
We're happy. And now we're walking around the lot. We're going past the Joan Crawford building. We're getting a laugh. We go past the Clark Gable building.
Right.
We walk on the set of Metropolis. You ever saw the Superman, the Lois Lane show? We're walking around Metropolis.
Into the Sony Pictures store, you know, where they got all this stuff. But I tell you, at that point, we're walking around. I wanted to buy some souvenirs, but I'm still bitter about the situation that we've gone through. So I'm not buying. So I don't buy anything.
Yeah, God, rightly so. So we walk around about a half an hour, 40 minutes. Say, well, here's what we can do. We can either go back, see what they say. We can just get in the car and
Come back
and go back home. But you know what? That would be rude.
Right.
We don't want to be rude.
Yeah, the bottom line was Leah Remini had, you know, had invited Don to stay over. They'd invite us. No, Kevin and Leah had invited us to come out on the show. Did we push it ourselves?
Yes.
We asked for that invitation, but they gave it to us.
So we figured we don't want to be rude. Let's go back. So we went back. We walk inside, and we go back up to our dressing room. And when I say dressing room, please don't get the idea that it's some swank, luxurious suite.
No, this is a closet with a lamp.
I'm talking
a
about
a closet with,
you know,
a phone and a lamp.
Like a foxhole from World War II.
Right.
But it's the closest thing they have to a dressing room.
But it's better than most of the other schmo extras we're getting, so that was there. And, you know, that's another thing where I guess the way it works out there, they thought that we were going to, hey, you got your own room here. Oh,
yeah, like,
wow!
We're going to be real excited about that.
Oh, boy, look at this. This is a love seat.
So we're sitting in this room, just pissed, although a little happier because now we've walked out.
We felt like we, who knows if they even noticed it, but I'll be honest with you, it felt good doing it because we really had it with that whole crap.
So Leah sends her assistant up, Michelle, sexed up Michelle. She comes up, and she knocks on the door, and she comes in, and she goes, and now, let me also preface this by saying, it's obvious that she knows what we did.
Yeah, and we were...
This girl knows that we got pissed and we walked out.
We've been sitting there for maybe 20 minutes in the dressing room, and the whole conversation we're having right there is, do you think anybody noticed? Do you think it made a difference that we did that? And we're just waiting to see what happens. So, and, you know, also waiting for Leah to get a break, because we're eventually going to go down and say, hey, Leah, you know, this isn't worth it. And,
goodbye.
Know, right.
So we hear this. She goes, hi, I'm Michelle. You remember you had me on the show? We go, yeah, hi, come on in. She says, so how's everything going? And both Mike and I look at her, we go, things are great.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better. She said, okay, can we get you in? You have anything to eat?
She's got a smile on her face this whole time, kind of a smirk on her face that indicates she knows what's going on.
But we're not going to let her know that we know that she knows. So she goes, you have anything to eat? We said, yeah, we got some food. Do you need anything? I said, no. She said, so you're happy?
Yeah, and at that point.
Are you guys happy? And then we said, well, you know, frankly, no, we're not happy.
We gave her the whole spiel, which incidentally we had rehearsed in totality.
Yeah,
excellent.
Our lecture.
We gave her the whole spiel.
We gave her the lecture, so we wanted to say
delicate. We want to position ourselves, you know, in such a way that we don't want to step on Kevin and Leah's toes, but we want to let all those dinks.
You know, you can't crap on us, man. I mean,
right.
You know, I said to her, I said, we're not like the rest of the great unwashed out there that are coming in for $50 a day for meal money to do this crap. You know, we have jobs, and if you don't want us here, just tell us, and we leave. We wouldn't have come out in the first place if you didn't want us here.
Right.
But I'll be damned. We're going to sit for 4 hours and watch you block out a scene so we see all the camera angles, and then Pete Townsend throws us a bone and puts us in the scene when we already know that we're not even going to be on television.
Right. I mean, this is really, you're talking about 11 o'clock until 11 o'clock at night. I mean, it's a long time to be somewhere, you know
so
what I mean?
She says, well, why don't you talk to Kevin about it? He's the executive producer. And I said, yeah, right, that's what I'm going to do. He's in the middle of rehearsing his television show that he's going to be taping in 4 hours. I'm going to just stop everything and walk on the middle of the set and say, excuse me, Kevin. Mike and I are not in this show. I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
And this speaks really, I mean, with all fairness to Michelle, who's Aaliyah's assistant, who does a wonderful job. We're not supposed to do that. That's not the way it should be done. We were made to understand what was going to happen when we were out there, and it's just not happening. And that's what we're trying to communicate. However she deals with that information is fine. We figured.
So at that point, we're really ready to give up. We said, listen, just tell Kevin and Leah we appreciate it. We're going to stay. We're going to watch the show. We want to see the show being taped, and then we're just going to get in our car, and we're going to go. That's pretty much it.
Right.
And she again tried to get us to talk to Kevin, and we said, no, we're not going to talk to Kevin. You know, knowing the whole while that she was sent up to find our side of the story, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to go down and talk to Kevin Oasis. Really, the way the game is played is that she's going to hear what we have to say, then she's going to go down and talk to them, and then she's going to come back.
That's her job. That's how it works.
You know, and it's such crap.
It's really...
It's such bull. I wish I could say the S word, but that's what it is. It's bull S word, bull S word, bull S word.
It really is.
A waste of time. Waste of time. You know, just come up. I understand if Leah's too big a star to come talk to us, or Kevin's too big a star, or Pete Townsend, the director, but at least when you send your lackey up, just send her up with the facts. You know, right. Why do you got to go through this additional dance? I mean, we're just going to sit in a scene and pretend to eat food.
We want our asses on TV so that when we come back here and we talk about what it's going to be on, when we're going to be on, we don't look like a-holes because we're saying we're going to be on this show and we're not on this show. That's all. And, you know, frankly, we're feeling a little bit like a-holes because we've said we were going to have a speaking part and we're not.
Yeah, and it turns out we're not. You know, even though we've been told all along that we are, well, we found out the day before that we're not. But we still said, you know what?
We'll do it.
What the hell? Let's go with it. It's FaceTime. It's something to talk about. We'll have some good experiences to talk. Who knew that this would be the good experience we'd be talking about?
So she vanishes, and then the big waiting game
and frankly,
begins.
You know what they must think of us is they must think that we're like every mook disc jockey.
Of course.
That, you know, hey, we're on the set of a TV show. There's free food, and there's free sodas, and that we get to watch a TV show, that we would be so enthralled by it all that we would just be happy to be there. Well, we weren't. And she came back up about a half hour later.
Now, you actually went to get a cigar. You went to get cigars.
From the car.
And you left. And at that point, she comes around the corner, and she says, I was going to the bathroom, and the bathroom, unfortunately, is right next to Leah's dressing room. As I'm walking by, she comes out. She says, hi, listen, you've been moved. It's been taken care of, and everything's going to be fine. And I'm like, fine. No more information was exchanged. That was all I heard. And then I figure, okay, well, if we've been moved, then we'll have at least a better camera angle. At least maybe they got the message. You know, it sounds like something was done. Frankly, that was the only situation that was going to, you know, be able to make it right.
And then I come back with the cigars. Mike says, hey, she came up. And then that Chris guy and the guy with the green
sweater, he's the director, right?
They come up and they say, listen, you guys, sorry about this. This was a real major screw-up. You're going to be in two scenes.
And we're like, boy, we've gone from being off camera completely to now being moved in the one scene, and they've added another scene for us. We are very, very happy at this point.
So he says, cool. You're going to be in scene B. You're going to be in scene L. You both need to go to wardrobe immediately.
We're going to be in two different restaurant scenes.
You will need a wardrobe change. You will need to go to hair. You will need to go to makeup. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know.
Little did we know that later in the day,
we're going to be effed again.
We're going to be screwed big time. Again. They're going to do it to us again and think that we're like, la-di-da.
So, now it's another 2 hours later.
Right.
Mike has gone to wardrobe and gotten a shirt. I've gone to wardrobe and they said the clothes that I'm wearing are fine. I brought my own shirt. They said you can wear that for the other scene.
This is minutes away from when we're going to do our first scene.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We forgot to tell us when we went to that redneck bar.
Oh, that's right. We take our little break.
There was a dinner break.
That's right. Because after we find out we're going to be in the two scenes, they said, you guys can take a little break and go off and come back. Be here by 5:30. So you can, get to your places.
So we said, great. That was about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So Mike had a couple of friends in who he was going to be playing golf with over the weekend. Real nice guys. We hooked up with them.
And I get a recommendation on a place that we can go for a little cocktail before we're going to do it.
The Backstage Bar. Which is the biggest armpit in Southern California.
Let me tell you, when I asked for the recommendation, they told me one place that, oh, don't go, that's not really nice. Send them to the Backstage place. So I figured when they said it's the Backstage Bar, that this might be a nice place until we miss, Esmeralda.
Yeah, Broomhilda, who was the waitress, with the missing teeth.
That's her name, Broomhilda.
And the too much mascara and the big sloppy boobs and the 5 pounds of sugar packed into a 1 pound bag that were her pants. And
I got my buddies in town and they meet us at the just by accident because they were there early, and we hop in the car and drive to this, and boy, did they get an idea. We were high powered Hollywood stars, man, at the Backstage Bar.
We take them to this place that is like the awfulest, most inbred,
it makes an armpit look good,
redneck country style bar ever. It's like something out of Waldorf, Maryland. In fact, we travel 3,000 miles to go to Waldorf. So we're sitting in this place, and it's an exercise just to get an adult beverage from the slightly brain-damaged woman who's the hostess.
Yeah.
And so we get a drink, and we pound it down, and we say, you know what? Uh-oh, 5 o'clock. You know, we better go back.
Gotta get back.
Say hello to Kevin and Leah.
Do you know what I forgot to tell you?
What?
My two pals, they went back there after we left. After we dropped them off, they didn't
hang
around. They went back.
They liked it.
They, you know, we had to be on the stage. They had an hour to kill, so they went back.
You couldn't pay me to go back to that place.
Well, these are my friends, you know, and it's, they said that they...
It was an awful place. Let me just give you the ambiance of this place. It was like, you know that bad fake wood paneling?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The whole place is made with that.
One weather-beaten pool table in the middle of the joint.
And they've got a... the jukebox that's playing only one song, American Pie by Don McLean, over and over again at a blood-curdling level. And all of the guys who are in there, they look like miners from like the 1400s. I mean,
but the good news is they're better than us because they have had, they know the bartender. The bartender knows them. Broomhilda, with her two teeth, she knows these guys. She's making out with them. She's,
oh, God. These dirty guys, these dirty, smelly guys who I would have thought were like homeless guys.
Right.
They're coming behind the bar and they're going, hey, baby, come here, you. You got my drink? And she's going, I need change for 20. I need change for 20. And this old miner, this guy who looks like he's been working in the mines.
Gold miner.
Yeah. He pulls out a 2 fives and 10 ones. Now. He goes, here you go, baby. And then,
you know something about Mary, the guy sitting next to the boat?
Oh, yeah.
That's this guy.
She gives him a nice big wet kiss on the lips. And
meanwhile, we're sitting there, four of us, sitting there being totally ignored the whole time.
Yeah, again.
It's not that we couldn't get. We are, this is the ignored day. We are totally ignored by everybody.
And finally, she brings us our drinks.
Right.
after she gets done making out with all of the old dirty men in there.
That's right.
She can't get the drinks right, and she brings us the drinks, and we have the drink, and then we say, okay, let's go back. And
meanwhile, she's kissed two guys, she's hugged two other guys, then one guy, like, grabs her, pinches her butt, and she said, oh, watch out, oh, I hate it when that happens. I said, oh, and I say, lightheartedly, I swear to God, oh, you liked it. And she turns, and all of a sudden, her face turns into this horrible witchy face, and she goes, I never like being grabbed. And I'm like, I'm making a little passing comment.
Keep in mind, she's virtually had sex with five guys behind the counter. But Mike says one thing to her, and that's what sets her off.
It's like, okay, sorry. I'm sorry I even tried to make a pleasant
drink. Oh, Jesus.
And it could have been predicted that it was a debacle when it was time to pay the bill.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's when she she hands me this little receipt that where the printer is printing six times in one spot, and she hands it to me and says, can you read that? I'm like, no, I can't read that.
To show you how poorly lit this place was, this was at 4:30 in the afternoon. She was having to get out a flashlight to look at the receipt.
Sure.
To show us how much we owed for the drinks we'd had.
Absolutely.
So it was a big cluster of them. We get back in the car and we go back to the lot and we walk back into the studio part, and that's when we hear that, hey, guess what? We're not going to be in two scenes. We're only in one scene.
Yeah.
And the reason that we're only in one scene is that somebody on the show has...
Somebody, a friend, somebody's parents are
in town, and they're going to be in the show.
And that's who's being schmoozed. And who are the guys that are bumped out of the second scene
being hosted? It's us.
It's us.
And we're standing in this little food service area where they've got like a little mini deli set up, and we're standing there having to watch the mom and dad
get their asses kissed like you would not believe it. We know full well why, you know, who the guys were that were 86 to make, you know, hey, more power to them, but I mean, I thought there were more than one table in there, you know.
It's a freaking American Gothic, you know, that painting with the guy with the pitchfork?
Right.
That's what these two people look like, and they're...
We know, it's so, you know, they think we're so stupid that we don't know what's going on, and they're doing all this right in front of us, and it's so... I've never felt anywhere, and take Hollywood out of the equation, I have never felt more in the way or unimportant or like we're being forced on people.
Unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we really felt, was unwanted. And yes,
and once again, tell us from the word go. Really, say it from, hey, listen, they don't want, you know, the director doesn't want you there. If that's the case, we'll accept it, and we won't even get on a plane and fly out to Los Angeles.
We wouldn't have gone in the first place.
And it was the same director, Mr. Pete Townsend. You know, we know it all comes from him.
Yeah, of course. We're sure it does, really. We're not paranoid. But we're sure it comes from him.
I'm sure you're right. It's just my impression, really, that if somebody's going to run an attitude on a television show, it might be the stars. Well, that's not the case on this television show. Kevin James and Leah Remini, the
couldn't
stars
be nicer.
Of the show, the nicest people. They're supporting cast like that guy, Patton.
Patton Oswalt, who I spent about an hour with, he couldn't be nicer.
Absolutely wonderful people. But
it's the director.
The director gets to cop the tube.
I can't write and direct at the same time.
And literally, there's at one point...
Quiet, please. I hear the coffee machine.
They break for dinner, and we're walking back to the soundstage because we came back from our little, at Broomhilda's bar. We're walking back, and the director is in a golf cart, of course, because he won't walk like the rest of the cast down to get his food. He's in a golf cart, and as he walks by us, we're looking right at him, and his eyes go straight down. He makes it. You know when someone makes an effort
when they're going out of their way not to make eye contact. I'm not even talking about eye contact. I'm talking about just not even acknowledging that Mike and I are walking directly towards his golf cart.
Mm-hmm. Now, he would claim, and I'm sure that if it ever got to that, and we never will because we won't have any contact with him, he would claim that, oh, I didn't even know you guys were on the set.
Bull ass. And we found out why as soon as we walked through the door. Well, we found out, you know, that Ma and Pa Kent from Smallville were going to be in the scene. And
let me see, who are we going to screw to make room for them? Oh, the DJs.
The DJs from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. I don't know how many times people came up to me and said, look, you're the disc jockeys from Philadelphia, right? Said, no, we're not. We're not from Philadelphia. I don't know where that started from, but we're not from Philadelphia.
So that's the next phase of this that we move into.
Yeah, hold on, time out. We have to do a break.
Oh, man, it's pretty incredible.
Because we're pissed. I mean, now we're back to being pissed again.
Right, exactly.
Just when we thought everything had been worked out, we're back to being pissed. And basically, all we're doing is being dicked around all day
for a little extra job, for a walk-on, for background, for window dressing on this show, which really, frankly, we've done it before.
It's not worth it. I mean, we thought it would be more than that. It's not worth it. And no one will hear us when we're just trying to say, listen, we do have a little dignity.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a sea of activity. Everybody's happy. Everybody's talking. You know, they're all working. What are we doing? We're sitting on our ass waiting for our little 5 seconds, which is whittled down from what it was supposed to be, and we're not happy. But, you know, don't come back to us and say we're going to be enthusiastic. And then all of a sudden they screw us out of the other way.
Yeah.
It gets more interesting.
Atham, hold on. We will be back with more in a moment.
This magazine, Total Sphincter Control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now listen, we're going to try to
focus
on the show for a second.
Very good.
We'll come back to our tragic tale of being anally raped by Hollywood in a moment.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking to Buzz out in the hallway. Buzz said to me, all of Los Angeles is like that, and I think he's absolutely right.
I think so. That's why we hate it out there.
I know.
Listen, we have on the phone now, we just lost one of the reporters.
Oh, no.
We have... at least one reporter from Wichita. Buzz, you ever heard of a newspaper called the Derby Daily Reporter?
Absolutely never.
Never.
Never heard of it.
Really? Hello, is this Michael?
Yeah, this is him.
Heard of Derby.
Michael, what kind of newspaper is this that you write for in Kansas?
This is a daily it's a daily newspaper, 5 days a week for Derby, Kansas. It's a suburb of Wichita, basically.
Mm-hmm. A suburb. Is it free or do you charge for it?
50 cents.
Okay, so it's, you pay for it. That's good.
50 cents.
And what is your circulation?
I don't know. What's the circulation? About 2,000 daily.
2,000? All right, we'll give you exactly 90 seconds to interview us.
Exactly 90 seconds is what I get for that kind of circulation?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, well, how the hell did you guys get roped into being in Wichita on St. Patrick's Day?
Good question. Oh, I'm sorry. No,
your
I mean...
This isn't your choice.
You know. Oh, it was our first choice.
It was 100% our choice.
How so?
Well, I've always said, you know, Wichita, St. Patrick's Day, they go together.
And I said, make sure if we're going to go do a live show on St. Patrick's Day, I want to do it from a city where they have strict controls on nudity. It's something that would really, you know, constrict what we're able to do on stage. So we were able to get both together.
We like challenges, and that's why we're coming to Wichita.
So how are you going to deal with the local nudity ordinances?
We will have no nudity.
You'll have no nudity?
We'll have people in their underwear. What do you think we could do? Get our listeners arrested?
I thought that was part of the Las Vegas-style show.
We adhere to whatever the covenants are in whatever place we do the show.
Kind of a dope are you. Where did you go to school?
Here in Wichita.
Okay. Enough said. Continue, please.
Okay. Well, there's strip clubs here in Wichita where the girls put, makeup over their nipples and this type of stuff. Is it going to be like that, or is it just going to be strictly under?
We won't know till we get there, sir.
Yeah, okay.
These are the questions. We give you 90 seconds, and this is what you ask us?
Now, why are you so hung up on the nudity aspect of this?
Hey, you know, I'm just curious. It's the first in a long list. Are you going to do the Monica Cigar Contest?
We don't do that anymore. That's on our old show.
Okay. Are you going to bring major effing star Dennis Murphy?
We're not bringing him, but he's coming.
He's going to come?
Yes. Yeah.
Is he coming down?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. You have 5 seconds.
Okay. Is the show from the Cotillion going to be broadcast at any point?
No. There you go. All right.
It was wonderful being interviewed by you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for taking the time to interview us.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Goodbye. On the telephone now from an even lower newspaper is Lucas from the Wichita State Sunflower.
Have you heard of that one?
Actually, that's probably a bigger paper than the Derby newspaper.
It very well may be.
Wichita State University.
Really?
Oh, it's a college paper.
Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
That's okay. He hasn't made the permanent mistake of becoming a print journalist yet.
All right, then you're from a college newspaper?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, we will give you the same 90 seconds. Please, fire away.
Great. I just want to say, hey, buddies, first of all, big fans.
Okay, don't waste your time. You're wasting
I wanted to say that for a long time.
Very good.
I just want to ask you, how's New York going so far? Do you guys like it?
We haven't been there yet. We won't be up there for a couple of weeks. But yes, the preliminary thought is that we are doing great in New York.
Very happy to be on there.
Okay, great. So do you guys get a real kick out of doing this kind of a show right in the middle of the Bible Belt? I mean, where people in town get all pissed and...
Are people pissed?
Yeah. Well, I've heard a little bit of talk, yeah.
Who's pissed?
Oh, just the average Joe Schmo who cares about morals and all that crap.
Well, morals aren't necessarily crap. We have morals,
Well,
too.
Yeah, I mean...
Son, are you planning to make journalism your career? you're asking big questions
it's
like
a hobby
this?
At the moment.
It's very similar. There seems to be, you know, I think the only people that are hung up about what we're going to do with this show are the people that are asking the questions of the papers.
You have 30 seconds. Ask us a relevant, meaningful question.
What was it like seeing a guy suck the brains out of a sheep's head?
It's great.
That's
question.
A good question.
Give him a round of applause.
Sucking brains out of sheep's head.
You've just won an additional 10 seconds to interview. It was the single greatest, grossest, and smelliest thing that I've ever seen on our radio
show.
It
smelled worse than Dennis Murphy.
It was loaded with stomach-turning goodness.
All right, ask us another bright question.
I'm out of bright questions at the moment.
All right, thank you very much.
Well,
we enjoyed it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
You wonder why we don't spend a lot of time doing that.
Christ, that's why we do those on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we're sitting up in the office.
You have to sit through that crap. You'd have to kill him.
Your show, the people are up. The average Joe Schmo is upset. And
the guy's got his pants around his ankles.
Here in Wichita, I know the strippers put makeup on their nipples. Will you be doing that?
Okay. Enough. Please.
They weren't even from real newspapers.
True.
Please. It's really important to mention that at a Las Vegas-style show, we have a lot of fun, and there's a lot of laughter. It's a funny show, okay? Number one, it is a very funny show.
But it's also a sexual show, and it can be sexual without total nudity.
And the sex part is also funny, too.
Yes,
we've been to places where we've had stricter rules than they have in Wichita.
Right.
And things have always worked out great, but... No, we're not going to put our listeners in a position where they're going to be arrested
right.
for taking their clothes off on stage if they have an ordinance in Wichita City, which they do, that says you can't get naked.
You will have a wonderful time. The power of suggestion.
Okay. Thank you. Great interviews. Thank you. Thank you, one and all.
God.
Jesus H. Christ.
I'm more in a mood to go out to Wichita.
I knew you would
be. After those two interviews.
Great. And those were set up in advance.
Right.
Like, they called to get those. They didn't just call spur of the moment.
That's sad.
They, like, planned that. Where's the guy from the real newspaper? Isn't there a real newspaper?
Wichita Eagle. Is there a real newspaper?
It's a real newspaper.
We haven't heard from them yet, I guess.
Okay. Right.
They'll have somebody in the crowd.
Yes, they will.
Right. I'm sure they will.
They got a hatchet job ready for us.
Okay, let's get back to King of Queens.
Yes, where were we?
Very quickly. Oh, we have a girl who's here to stir the soup today also. That'll help break up the flow of this angst we have about Los Angeles.
Very good. So we come back and we find out that a scene has been cut. You know, they were placating us by, changing our location in one scene. And then when they added another scene, we thought, hey, bonus party.
It's great. This is what we had wanted. Okay, we're not going to be able to do the scene like we had been told where Jerry Stiller calls our radio show. But, you know, we'll be in two scenes. It's something we can talk about. We come back.
In the space of 2 hours, actually an hour and a half.
Boom.
They've chopped us out of the second scene so they can accommodate Ma and Pa Kettle.
Okay, so they're in and we're out and we're pissed again.
Right.
And it's now at this point that we think, well, you know what? We better go say hello to Leah, and we better go say hello to Kevin, because we've not seen them at all during the
entire... We really tried to stay out of their way.
During the 8 hours that we've already been there, we haven't seen them yet. So we go back by Leah's dressing room, and her mother's there.
I lean in to just see if I see the door open. I see there are people in her dressing room, which indicates that, you know, maybe it's okay to just say hi. I poke my head on the door, and I do not see any sign of Leah, but I see her mother there. And the mother, I say, hi, how are you? I said, do you remember us? And she says, uh-huh. And she looks at me, and I said, well, I just wanted to come by and say hi. Uh-huh. And I said, you take care. She's like, all right. Do you know when someone's answering you like they don't want the conversation to continue at all?
That's what it's on.
I'm not a dumb man. I understand that completely.
Very slow, very measured tone.
That was really the gist of that conversation. Her Leah's sister was there on the phone, and the mother said something like, she's being interviewed on the radio.
She's doing an interview right now. You know, like we'd be impressed by that. And we said, okay, great. Thumbs up. We'll see you later.
See you later. At this point, you know, it's just... We're a little overwhelmed with feeling like,
crap.
Like crap.
I know.
And then we turn the corner and there's Kevin. And he's all bouncy and happy and he's got his UPS guy shirt on. And I really believe this, and he told me this later. He has no idea what we've been going through.
Of course.
He sees us and he goes, hey, Donna Mike, guys, how you doing? How's everything going? You know. He's got a half hour till the show. We're not going to give much of crap. So he says, it's Kevin. Things are fine. I gave him a couple of Cuban cigars that I brought. I said, here, you know, a little gift. Wow, thank you. All right, guys.
Hanks, a U-turn takes the cigars back to his dressing room.
We're going to get together later, right? Okay, good. See ya. Bye. He's gone.
Mm-hmm. So now we're pissed again.
You know, we're not pissed at him. We're not pissed at her. We're pissed at the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Leah's mom and you know, the whole entourage. And that's what we're made to feel like at this point. Like we're part of somebody's entourage when really... We're not part of anybody's entourage.
No, we're not part of anything. We're not part of anything. We realize at this point that we're going to do the thing we're supposed to do, get it over with. You know, you're still debating whether you're even going to, you know, stay.
Yeah, at that point, I said to Mike, you know what? This is just, it's all crap today. And really, the only reason, and this is the truth, the only reason I want to stay at Leah's house is so I could talk about it on the radio.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I haven't seen her at all during the day, and her... Mom gave us the cold shoulder, and the show's been effing us around. And frankly, I would just like to get done with the whole damn thing, and just
yeah, just f it, f that show. I'm sorry. Out. And this is no offense to Kevin and to Leah, but f that show. Yeah, I've had it.
Just get out of there. That's all we want to do. So that's what I was. I thought, you know what? I will just politely bow out later. I'll just say to her, you know, you're gracious to invite me over. But no, thank you. Well,
and after you drop off the cigars, so Kevin, the big waiting game begins of getting the studio audience in there, getting to do our scene that we really don't even know where we're going to be until they're getting ready to tape it, and they set it, they block it, they bring us over, and I swear to God, they put us in the exact same spot where we were before. I am beyond blown away.
And now at this point, you know, we say something.
Yeah, I forgot how that played out.
Well,
because
what happened was that Leah came in and sat down. She turned and she goes, hi. And I said, hi. Listen, we're not happy. This is what we talked about with Michelle. Look at us here. I said, we watched you block this shot out 18 times. Mike and I are not going to be on TV. It's not worth it.
Somebody at this point, we don't hear what goes on, but somebody says something to somebody, to somebody, to somebody. And at the very last second before they're going to start taping this show, they pull these two extras out of the seat that
they
were in.
Out of a prime location,
which
right
behind
Kevin.
To Kevin.
Good.
And they move us over there.
Now, and here's what, I'm going to give Mike some credit here. I'm going to give Mike some love. That as we are being led to the table where we're going to be sitting at, a good table where we're going to be in a lot of the scene. There are two chairs.
One chair has its back facing Kevin. One chair has the front facing Kevin.
Meaning that whoever has the chair with the front facing Kevin will be on television, and the other guy will be effed.
Now, you should know about us. We are extremely competitive people. We always have been.
Oh, yes.
At this point, I see Don going around the outside, and I know exactly where he's going. He's going for the chair that's going to be facing Kevin.
To be on TV.
And I say, okay, and I just quicken my pace a little bit, slide in between these two tables, and I put my butt right down
in
that
chair. Now, keep in mind, I was already up the first time in the shot that wasn't even supposed to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've already put me in a corner with my back to the camera to begin with.
Right.
So this is now the second time in one day.
Exactly.
And I sat down, and I said, well, screw it. I'll just move the chair. Just move the chair to the side.
I look at your face, and we both want to get, you know, our little nugget out of this. And I look at your face, and I figure, man, you know, it's not worth it.
I was crushed. There's no doubt.
You know, we've been effed with all day long. We've been working together for an awful long time. We've been effed. I'm not going to eff him on this. And, you know, if it had been one of those deals where we just happened to sit down, but no, it was obvious what I did. I did a big one for the
race.
It was a race. I sat down, and I said, here, switch. And Don says, no, don't do that. Then we become, once again, like a married couple again. I said, look, let's switch. We switch locations. Don gives me my props for that. And we're sitting. But at that moment, I make a determination. You know, F them, I am not going to sit with my back to the scene. I am going to turn
the chair around.
You know what I'm going to do is, quite frankly, I'm going to sit the way I do after many good meals, where the chair is pushed out completely, I cross my legs, and I turn almost facing the camera, and that's where I sit for the duration of, I think they did, three takes?
Four takes.
You know, big deal. Yeah, who knows whether it's going to be on TV or not.
From what I was watching in the monitors, we both had excellent FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So, you know, we pushed our way on.
We'll see what happens.
You know, who knows what they're going to end up running, but...
Yeah, they probably cut the whole damn thing out.
We got to be in there. If they run that scene, we got to be in there.
It's a scene in an Italian restaurant, a fancy Italian restaurant, where...
And it's a long scene. It's like
a very long
scene. It's an eight-minute scene. It's a big, giant hunk of the show. You can't miss it.
And it's where Leah has a fit in the... her character has a fit about the service in the restaurant.
You can't miss it, but that's it. And it's done, and they say, after the third or fourth time they do it, they say, cut. That's a print. You know, let's move on to the next scene. And then, as quick as it all happens...
It's over.
That's it. It's done. You know, and once again, we've been high and we've been low. You know, okay, we're back in the scene, and they put us at the crappy table, then they put us at the good table, then one of us is going to have the back to the camera, then we got to maneuver, so Mike's on television, and Mike gives me the chair, and then, you know, we're making small talk during this, and then it's done.
Right.
It's over. The scene is over.
Right.
And now... What has become a fun, interesting experience.
This is when the boredom of the entire experience begins to cave in on us like
now
a mine shaft.
Now it's tedious. Now it's no longer, hey, we're in Hollywood, we're on the scene of the television show. Now it's...
Now the whole reality, and I have found the analogy. For anyone that has ever gone, any spouse who has ever gone to their spouse's class reunion, that is the way we have felt all day long, okay? We're at a party, and it ain't for us.
Yeah, and nobody wants to talk to us.
Right.
And now we're just standing around. And for a while, we're able to amuse ourselves by sitting in the director's chair.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. You know, they don't bother you when you do that, and they really don't kick you out. You know, we're walking around. We once again, like we were the last time we were out there, we have pretty much the run of the place. We can go wherever we want.
So we're walking around from set to set, and we're sitting in the director's chair, and, you know, that wears off after a couple of minutes, and then
it's horrible boredom. I mean, everyone else is working, and it's just, I mean, it's, you know, once you've seen it, you've seen it, right?
And frankly, this guy, Johnny Director, I said to Mike...
Watching him work is just making my stomach turn.
I said to Mike,
stand this guy.
You know, if I directed this show, and I've got no qualifications, but I've watched this all day, and I know the lines of dialogue now because I've watched them rehearse these scenes 8,000 times. If I'm the director of this show, the whole show is done in an hour. I mean, there is no need to do a scene, and then he says, you know what?
Right.
Kevin... I want you to trip when you're going up the stairs just as the light is coming down. Let's try that again.
He's doing it, you know, he's doing what he's expected to do, right?
This guy's just validating his position as a director.
Right. You know, and I know a lot of guys do, you know, far be it for us to tell anybody how to do their job, but when you're doing your job, there are certain people that... That go about their job in a way that is very workmanlike, and then there are other people I think that do their job making sure that everybody knows that they're the man.
And that's this guy. And this guy. He's got his underlings. He's got the other guy where he says
he directed the last thing when we were out there. We met the guy. I think, would you agree? He was the only one that I would not put into
as
the
friendly
category.
Yeah, he was the only one.
He was kind of a dink,
a big stuck up. And he would do his thing where he says quiet on the set. Then his other guy goes, quiet on the set! And another guy goes, quiet on the set!
Everybody else, I mean, really, almost to an individual, the people surrounding that, except for Johnny Scatterbrain, he was a nice enough guy, the Scatterbrain guy, but, you know, everybody else was, you know, we had nice, pleasant encounters with, but the director
just
was,
as director was
the one guy.
So, you know, now we're done, and we've realized that we've invested an entire day in this, and we're going to get on television maybe for 5 or 6 minutes, and then it's, you know, it's turned out awful, and we feel bad, and this guy can't get a scene done to save his life. They're doing a scene, and it's like, great, and then he says, no, do it again, and it's 2 times, it's 3 times, it's 4 times, it's 5 times, it's 6 times, and every time they take a break, they're playing YMCA, and the idiot who's doing the announcements to keep the crowd into it,
right.
He's like throwing them candy bars.
The warm-up comic,
and
right.
He's throwing out Snickers bars, and he's getting everybody to do YMCA with their hands.
You know, for a studio audience coming out and seeing a television show, that's fine. I think it's great when you come out and you see the show, because you get there at 6 o'clock and they start all this. We've been there since 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So it's now, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
We, you know, we don't think that we can hang out and watch Ma and Pa Kettle get their scene.
Mike says he's going to have to go. That's it. He's got his friends there.
I walk over to my buddies, and I say to these guys, I say, how you doing, guys? And I'm trying to get, you know, they're trying to be nice to me. I said, are you having a good time? I'm trying to look at their face to see if there's any hint of boredom. And I said, if you guys want to split, I mean it. You know, the whole time, meaning I'd like to split.
Yes.
I said, if you'd like to leave, finally, there's a consensus that that everybody's just ready to get started with Friday night. And so I have the first moment of real excitement in about 7 hours. So I come over to Don. I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm not going. I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "Well, they say it's cool. We're going to split, and we're going to take off, and we're just ready." I wasn't too eager. Remember that moment? I wasn't too eager to leave, but my friends, Peter and Jimmy, shake hands with Don. I shake hands with Don, and we start almost running for the door, and just as we're going to get to the
guy's
door,
being let out of prison,
the big buzzer comes on, and the lights go on, which means, quiet, silence, please! And I stop, and I'm like, oh, God.
Got to sit through the same scene again.
Another 20 minutes as they get it right.
So then he's gone, and now I'm really trapped.
Of course.
Because now I'm there by myself. Yeah. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm thinking, it's 9:30. They've been taping for 3.5 hours to do a 22-minute television show. And now I start to say to myself, they'll be done by 9:45.
Right. Uh-huh.
And at 9:45, I say, they'll be done by 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I say, they'll be done by 10:15. At 10:15, they'll be done by 10:30. 11 o'clock, and now the warm-up guy is still going YMCA, saying, "We got one more scene to do, one more scene." He's getting the crowd to sing Rawhide and all this other bull crap, and I'm tired, and finally, that's it, they're done. And they come out, and they all get their applause. And right, yeah, keep in mind, 11 p.m., it's 2 a.m. real time,
right?
And I got up at 5 a.m. already, so right. You know me, I'm already tired.
Sure.
I'm already turning into Eddie a little bit. You know?
Edward Anger.
That's what we decided. I kind of decided the new name is now Edward.
Edward,
not Eddie.
Edward. Right towards the end before I left, I'm saying, you see, Edward, then they don't get it right, just right. They're going to do it all over again. Do you understand that, Edward?
How are you liking the show, Edward? Because we were both getting very angry.
Yeah, I was Edward most of the day. Don, I actually about
caught up with you.
A quarter into it, you finally got up to Edward level. It was,
caught up to you.
I don't know how you did it. I mean, I really don't know how you did it, how you hung in there that long.
Really. Well, I wanted to at least tell her
right,
that I was thinking about not going to our house.
Right.
You know, and I thought that one of us should at least hang around to the end.
Right, right. And since you were planning on going to her house, that's why you stayed.
So go ahead. And, you know, besides, you gave me the seat, in the shot. So, I was, hey. You did something nice for me. Go ahead, get out of here. You know, go have a good time with your friends.
I really. When you left a message for me and told me that it had actually gone to 11:30. That's really about an hour and a half longer than the last time we were there.
Oh, it's tedious, man.
And you could see why. See, they just were doing it again and again and again and again. And the UPS scene was one that they did a bunch of times. Over and over.
We had to be there.
Over and
it's
over.
It wasn't funny the first time we saw it, but I mean, by the 20th time we saw it, I was like, Christ, okay, say your line, turn around, say you'd like baked lasagna, leave, go. Go, be done with it.
Yeah. No need to struggle with this stuff. I'm sorry, that's all I'll say.
One man's opinion.
Just a casual, just one man's opinion.
Time out. Because now we're going to get to the good stuff now, because now I'll tell you what it was like to go to Leah Remini's house, to go to television star Leah Remini's house.
I guess everything turned around where you did feel like you were wanted.
Not really. But, I figured at that point I'm into it.
Right.
I'm in this far.
And at least now, there are not 5 million people around. It's like you and the star of the show.
Right. And her friend. Her friend Carney. You remember her from Wilson Phillips. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
As all we had when I was a kid, Robitussin. No matter what you got, Robitussin better handle it. Daddy, I got asthma, Robitussin. I got cancer, Robitussin.
Continuing to broadcast under the Line One regime, the Don and Mike Show.
All
right, now listen. Let's finish up with this Los Angeles stuff. You know, we're unsatisfied with the result of our so-called appearance on King of Queens.
Yep.
We've now gone through the entire day. Mike has left the studio.
I'm having a good time, I must tell you, at this point. I'm having a good time with my pals in Los Angeles.
Glad somebody was.
I'm sorry that you had to hang behind and wait for two more hours.
Ponderous, as Casey Kasem would say. Effing ponderous.
I left about, I guess, 9:30 or so Los Angeles time.
They got done with the show at 11:30.
Went to an Irish whiskey pub.
Another shock. So we get done. They get done, not we get done. Right. They get done with the show, and Leah comes up to me and she says, "So, where's Mike?" And I said, "Mike left with his friends. He apologizes. He had friends in the audience, and they left to go out to have dinner."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Okay, are you coming to my house?" And it was at that point that Leah and I had maybe the first honest discussion about me coming to her house, where I laid it on the line because I was so tired.
Yes.
I was so Edward.
Right.
I was trying to be polite with her because I do think the things that happened were not her fault.
Sure.
I said, listen, I don't want to impose. I feel like all day, Mike and I have been out here. We've been imposing on you guys all day. And right or wrong, that's the feeling we've had. Mm-hmm. We've had the feeling all day that nobody really wanted us out here. We're pains in the ass. The last thing I want to do is go to your house and be a pain in the ass. I don't really love you. I just really want to go to your house so I can talk about it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the reason I want to go to your house and stay at your house.
Wow.
So I can come back and talk about it on Monday. How do you feel about that? And she looked at me and she said, I'm fine. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great. As long as you know, that's exactly where, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's it. I just want to come sleep in your house and leave.
Right.
She said, okay. I got to go change my clothes. I'll be about 20 minutes. I said, fine. At that point, I went back out on the set, and that's when I see Kevin James. And he says, hey, come here. And that they're playing a card game called F Your Neighbor.
Okay.
And it's kind of
like...
That's
the one they played the last time we were there.
It's kind of like poker, but not really like poker.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you bluff. If you have a better hand than the guy next to you, you take his money. If you have a better hand than the guy next to him, you take his money. And if you go all the way around the table, everybody has to give you equal to what they've already laid down to bet.
Right.
So I played a couple of times, and I ended up winning, like I told you, over $100, mainly from Kevin James, who was sitting next to me and every single time would try to bluff me.
Right.
And I wouldn't buy it.
Right.
Because, you know, for being a guy on a TV show, he's an awful actor when it comes to playing cards. Like, the cards would be dealt to him, and he'd go, whoa. Oh, hot stuff here. You know, if you really dealt a hand like with two kings and two aces, you
right.
don't say hot stuff here.
I mean, that speaks to Kevin James, though. Good guy, hanging out with the crew, playing little cards after the show. He uh-huh. is a good guy.
Right, and that's what I had the discussion with him where he said, hey, how'd everything go today? And I said, oh, not too great.
Right.
You know, that I let him through the whole thing about how we were in two scenes, and then in one scene, and then in two scenes, and then in one scene. And he said, well, hey, when are you guys going to come out and do it again? And I said, well, I don't mean to sound like a dick, but unless we get a script, unless I see that we have real lines that are written in...
It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but it has to be dialogue.
I said, we probably won't again. And he said, well, you know, he couldn't have been nicer. Said, I'm sorry that all this got effed up today, and, you know, you guys are welcome back anytime, and why don't you stay and play cards and let me win some of my money back?
You know, it should be pointed out that when he says that, it has clout. I mean, it, you know, he obviously has to think about what he's doing, but he is the executive producer of
right.
the show. So, I mean, when he does say that, I think Kevin is responsible, really, for the fact that we've been out there twice. I think Kevin is the reason that we've had even an opportunity to walk into that soundstage.
But then at that point, Leah comes out and she says, I'm ready, let's go. So I leave Kevin and the other guys playing cards, take the money. Again, feeling good, but now really starting to feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that I don't have Mike as a buffer, Mike mm-hmm. as a safety cushion, that it's just me. I'm going out to the parking lot. Leah says, where's your car? I said, it's up on the first floor. She says, go get your car. Pull it around, I'll meet you at the gate.
Okay.
Get out to the gate, she says, okay, follow me. And now I'm driving to Leah Remini's house.
Right.
And I'm following
her. Let me ask about her demeanor at this point. Is it like, does she feel like she's taking care of a job, or is there any, like,
I don't
looking
know.
Forward to it?
No.
She's not giving you anything either way.
Looking forward to it, I wouldn't say.
Right.
Much as, and I've got to think, I was, at this point, it was now 12:30, which is East Coast time, 3:30, and I'm going on
now I'm hitting my 24-hour mark with
right.
no sleep.
Right.
And I'm tired, and I'm just hanged out on the whole thing, and it's like, I'm thinking, you know, I should just go sleep in our house, say that I did it, and then just get up. And I'm even already starting to think about getting an earlier flight back
right.
on Saturday just to get out of there. So I'm following her to her house. We get to her house, and she says, here we are, and park the car up the street, and, you know, feel like a doofus when I get out of the car and I have my suitcase on wheels. And I pull out that thing and I'm dragging it behind me. I come walking up. Hi, here I am, you know, Mr. Stupid Disc Jockey, ready to spend the night
at your
house.
You're a trooper. I give you your props for that. I know you really
like
didn't want to
do
it.
Like I said, I would.
I know you really didn't want to do
so
it.
So we get there and she says, you're going to be in the bedroom downstairs. Would make you sleep on a couch. You could sleep in the room where her boyfriend's kids sleep.
And now, during this whole thing, it never once crossed your mind just to, you know, just to be silly. You know, so, downstairs? I thought I was upstairs in your room.
No.
All right.
No, I'm not going to play it like that with her after I've already had this serious discussion.
It's late. She's tired, too.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm tired, and she's tired, and their friend Jackie comes over, and then they decide that they want to go out to eat. And I really don't want to go out to eat. I really just want to go to sleep.
Right.
But I know that they're not going to leave me alone in their house. So they said, let's go get something to eat. So we get in the car and we go to some deli.
Okay.
Some Hollywood deli. And we sit down, and of course there's a line all the way outside, but because it's Leah Remini, she walks right up and gets us right in, and we get a table.
Now, was that fun at all when she walked in? Was it noticeable?
No, I was too tired for it to be fun. Too tired.
Right.
And we sat down, and they made the tragic mistake about asking me about my family. I mean, I don't mean Frieda and Bart. I mean my family.
Your extended family?
And laid it on them.
Yeah, the whole family?
The whole, told them about...
Dysfunctional deal.
Told about Uncle Tom and Mom and Dad and right. Grandpa and my brother. And for about 30 minutes, they just listened and I lectured.
There you go.
I just laid it all on them.
Sure.
Just boom, there you go. And then... We're done eating, and we get back in the car. We had to get back home because Leah wanted to catch herself on Politically Incorrect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we got back to...
How was she on that show?
Missed it.
Really?
Walked in just as the show was ending.
Oh, no.
So we sat down for a second, and she said, do you want some coffee? And by this time, it's after 1 a.m., which is really 4 a.m., like 1:30 in the morning. I've been up for almost 24 hours, and I said, no, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. Thank you very much. You're wonderful. Thank you. Good night. I think she was surprised. I mean, I don't know what she expected me to do.
Right.
But I just said good night, went downstairs. She said, do you want the heat on? I said, yeah, it's cold. She turned the heat on. I said, good night. And I got into bed and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that I'm on my body clock is on, no matter where I go, I wake up at the same time every day.
Right.
And I woke up at 7 a.m. East Coast time,
mm-hmm.
which was 4 o'clock in the morning, California time. I'd been to bed for about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up, and I realized, I got up, and I put my clothes on, and I walked out of the bedroom, and I realized she's got, like, a gazillion alarms all over her house, and she has sensors and everything everywhere. It looks like goddamn entrapment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know what? I can't walk around this house.
Oh, you mean you thought you'd trip an alarm if you did?
Yeah.
She had, like, a special alarm on.
Well,
so he said, just you can't walk around.
I went up by the front door, and it says, you know, system armed. And I saw that there were, you know, light beams going out everywhere.
Right.
Now, I don't know. She's, you know, she's a celebrity. I don't know how paranoid she is about somebody breaking into her house.
Right.
So I figured, well, I'm stuck downstairs. So I couldn't find a telephone. So what I did was I got on my Palm Pilot. And I emailed my wife.
Right.
And I emailed Frieda. Hi, I'm awake. I'm alone.
So this is 7 o'clock Los Angeles time?
No, 4 o'clock Los Angeles time, 7 o'clock East Coast time.
Oh, right, so you're up in the middle of the night,
right.
Basically.
I emailed Frieda. Hi, I'm alone. I miss you.
You didn't knock over a lamp or anything.
No, I can't find a telephone to call you.
Mm-hmm.
Love you. And I sent the email. Then I lay back down and slept for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was 5:30 Los Angeles time when I was, like it or not, awake.
Wide awake.
Wow.
Wide awake, could not go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I then spent the next 3 hours by myself sitting in Leah Remini's guest room.
Oh.
I got up. I took a shower. I then meticulously cleaned the bathroom. I then made the bed.
Right.
I then folded out the creases in the bed. I then got back on the Palm Pilot. I then sat on the bed.
And there's no TV down there?
No TV.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm looking out the window, and I'm watching the sun come up, and I'm thinking, Well, what kind of an effing moron am I? But I'm at our house, but I'm like, it's like I'm a prisoner down here.
So you figured if you went upstairs, you'd probably
set off an alarm. Or, you know, I didn't want her to get the feeling that I'm rummaging through her stuff.
Right.
So I thought I should just stay down here and wait for somebody to wake up.
And it's what time?
Well, now it's
6 a.m.
2 hours later, it's like 7:30, and still nobody's up.
Yeah, because they're probably on a totally different schedule.
Right.
You know, those Hollywood stars are big sleepers.
But now I found a telephone. And then I have the great debate with myself.
Right.
Do I use the telephone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does she wake up and see the light on the phone on and think I'm making telephone calls? Like, oh, screw it.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
And you're getting angry.
Yeah. I'm really mad. I'm way overtired, and I'm mad. I'm thinking, why do I even want to come to stay at this lady's house? You know, she didn't really want me to come. I didn't really want to come myself. I'm doing it just to say I could do
you're
it on
doing
the show.
This, and I'm going to give you a round of applause for the good,
for
the show. This radio program.
For the show. Not to mention the fact that because she's a TV star, a goddamn TV star, her bathroom downstairs has a tree in the shower. Okay? And when I was very careful taking my shower.
You mean a tree inside the shower?
Like, here's the shower.
Yeah.
And right next to it, up on a pedestal,
mm-hmm.
It's a tree. It's not a bush. It's a tree.
A tree.
It's a tree. And I was very careful.
I saw that bathroom video. This one with the design on the wall?
Yes.
Right.
Very careful not to hit the tree or anything. I'm taking the shower. I get done with my shower, and I reach up, and I get the towel, and I start going like this to do my back, and I turn around, and what I've noticed is that every petal on this goddamn tree is now all over the inside of the bathtub, and I think, oh, Christ, I've got to clean this up. You know, I don't do this kind of cleaning at my own house.
Right.
My wife, God bless her,
right.
I bust her balls all the time. She does a great job of cleaning her house. I don't do one goddamn thing at my house. But here I am at Leah Remedy's house on my knees at 6:30 in the morning.
Picking up leaves.
Picking up these little buds from this tree. And I'm looking for hair in the sink. And, you know, I'm on a mission.
You want to leave it cleaner than you saw it.
But I want to make mm-hmm. everything nicer than it was.
Make a nice impression on her.
When I arrive.
Right.
So I finally find a phone. I call Frida. It's like calling someone, you know, it's like I'm in a foreign country. I call her. Honey, hi, good morning. Listen. Nobody's awake yet. I can't leave the basement. I'm in the basement at Leah's house. I love you. I'm going to leave as soon as I can. I'll call you. Bye. Click.
Did she get weirded out by that?
No.
No, not at all. No, not at all. I don't think she did.
And then
in the closet.
I ended up sitting on the stairs by the entrance to her front door, sitting on the stairs with a book.
So you really thought that if your feet had hit
it wasn't so much the alarms, it was just the fact that I didn't want to go upstairs and turn on the television. I certainly couldn't open the door to get the newspaper.
Couldn't free yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't because there was a big sign that said, you know, house alarm set.
Crest, you know, like all of a sudden dogs would show up with teeth.
So I just sat on the step and was reading a book, and then finally, thank God, at about 8:30, I hear...
Oh, God. Was that Leah or her friend?
No, it's Leah.
Oh, dear.
It's Leah. I hear this. I think, thank God. She's going to be coming down shortly. And now the time is really starting to drag because I've been up for over 3.5 hours.
Like, you wish you were free in the sunshine of LA.
I just want to say to her, thank you and, you know, goodbye.
Right.
I want to... Get out,
of course.
So she comes downstairs, she comes down. Hi, sweetie, what are you doing? I said, I'm just sitting waiting for you to wake up. Oh, did you sleep well? I said, yeah, I slept. Let's keep it a good front. Slept great. Feel great. Up, took a shower, made my bed.
Meanwhile, you're like dragging your ass around there. You're just
really.
Body clock.
I mean, you know.
Your body clock is completely screwed.
I'm just ready to die and... She is a beautiful woman. She is a total hottie.
Mm-hmm.
But any guy that knows a woman knows this. You want to see what she really looks like? See her in the morning.
There you go.
See her in the morning when she's puffy. And she's got no makeup on. And I did, brother.
Right.
I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
She came down on her PJs.
Ah, yes.
Not
the PJs.
Sexy. Not sexy PJs.
Just sleeping PJs.
Man's flannel PJs.
There you go.
With the big bunny slippers. So she came downstairs and she said, boy, it's hot.
man, are you hot? I said, yes, it's like 80 degrees. I shouldn't have turned the heat on so much last night. And then she mentioned that her friend, who had spent the night, Jackie,
yeah,
that Leah and Jackie had slept in the same bed together.
Do you think that was protective?
I don't know.
Sleep in the bed with me.
I had a weird thought because she said, I mean, I had a thought about Leah's sexuality because she said, gee, I wonder what Jackie thought, because in the middle of the night it was so hot, I just had to take my shirt off. And I'm just getting that mental picture in my mind of Leah in bed with Jackie, and then all of a sudden Leah takes her shirt off. And,
right.
You know, who knows? They were very close.
It's very interesting.
They're very, very close friends, and then... Mm-hmm. You know, Jackie rolled out, and now it's 9 o'clock, and everybody's awake, and Leah says, do you want coffee? And I said, yes, please, please, dying for some freaking coffee. Please give me the biggest glass of coffee you can.
Make it mud.
And she's making the coffee, and then we had an awkward moment, because she gave me the coffee. I said, thanks. I said, can I have some sweet and low, please? She said, sure, do you want a whole pack? I said, yeah. She put it in, and I said, thank you. And then she says, hey, excuse me, when are you going to be real with me? And I said... Pardon me? And she said, last night, today, you say thank you, you say please. When are you just going to be real with me? And, you know, now there's a part of me that's dying just to say,
listen. You know what? I've been up since 7 o'clock. Right. This is what?
But no, I said to her, I said, you ever see Jerry Maguire? I said, these are the ABCs of me. I said, when my wife gives me a cup of coffee, I say to my wife, thank you. You know, if somebody at work gets something from me, I say thank you. I said, it's common courtesy. And then it's like a light bulb goes off, and she says... You're not like you are on the radio.
I'm
really not. She said, but every time I hear, you're like yelling at people. I said, yeah. I said, but now I'm talking very slowly, trying not to get angry, you know, trying to keep my happy demeanor going. I said, well, I do a show. It is a show. If I did my real personality is kind of boring. I'm a quiet person. I don't think anybody would listen to that. But when I'm on the radio, I guess...
Maybe she wants you to perform.
I said, when I'm on, I get to say whatever comes into my mind.
And right.
It's wonderful. It's great. So, this is how you really are. And it's like she's let down.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, this is...
She's been attracted to the person that's on the radio.
I said, this is how I am.
And when we're all together, that's just like the radio, too.
Yeah, right.
So the last time we came over to her house, it's easy for us because we're always on.
Everybody's
when we're
playing,
hanging around each other.
Everybody's playing Can You Top This, to impress the TV star.
I mean, even when you and I tone it down when we're together, when it's just you and I, then we like low-key. But
was getting the real me. Much as I was getting the real her with no makeup, it was like, hey,
yeah,
baby, this is it. When you get me up at 7 in the morning, this is what you get.
The last time we were in our house, it was the whole group, and you know, Buzz, you weren't there, but right. It was Rob and Charlie and you and me, and we were still doing the A material for her, even though it was kind of mellow.
She was getting nothing from me.
Right.
I mean, I was just being quiet, and she finally noodled that through,
right.
That I'm not exactly the same off the air as on the air. And then she gave me some coffee, and then I said, well, you know what? Golly. 9:30, I'm going to get out of here and get out of your hair. And she said, 9:30, what time is your plane leave? I said, 2 o'clock. I said, well, where are you going? I said, and as it turns out, I did have a guy to meet for lunch. I'm going to meet a friend of mine for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a radio station here. I'm going to run around and do some errands. I just want to get out of your hair. And it was at that point that she offered no resistance. It's not like she said, no, please, you must stay. Stay until it's the exact moment until your plane leaves.
Right.
At that point, she said, okay, well, let me get you some jewelry for Frida, because she's in this jewelry business with her friend Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
JackieandLeah.com is where you can buy it.
Okay.
And Jackie went to her car and then, you know, like a good peddler, opened up her suitcase and... laid out all this stuff for me to look at.
Did you buy jewelry?
No. They gave me a
free sample.
For Frida.
All right, nice. Very good.
And, you know, I picked one out. I said, that's that. It looks like something she would wear. And they put it in a box for me, and then I ran downstairs and got my bag.
Ran sprinting.
And then, you know, got a hug at the front door, and she's wearing her PJs and then just her big fuzzy slippers, and she was out on the front porch just waving at me as I was just walking away. Like, okay, bye. Thanks for letting me stay.
See you later.
See ya. Bye. She's like, okay, bye. Have a nice flight. Okay, bye. Bye. And I got in the car, and man, I beat ass out of there. I got on the telephone. I immediately called for you. I said, I'm out.
Right.
That's it. I'm out. I'm out of her house.
Well, she was nice to do it.
She was very nice. She was.
It was awkward, probably on both sides.
She was a good soldier, but Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Oh, what a mess.
An interesting time in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You know, and there was no J-O-ing, frankly. I was just too tired.
Right.
And that crossed my mind, too.
Well, I said I would J-O. A better J.O. in our house.
It's like a job. Yeah, no, I can't. I'm not in the mood. I'm not motivated. No. I'm too tired.
And besides, I must say I'm glad you didn't.
And besides,
do that.
You know, I'm trying to be real meticulous, like to make sure that I made the bed and everything.
Right.
The last thing I want to do is, you know, leave some DNA behind.
So where, you know, who knows where it stands now?
So I left, and I ended up meeting my friend Johnny down at Johnny.
Johnny Yoon,
Johnny,
the comedian?
Johnny K. Works at K-Big. Uh-huh. We ended up having lunch together and talking about radio. And with him, I had, with no offense to Leah, I had a great time. Because he took me to this place in West Hollywood. And goddamn, if Los Angeles is a funny city, because we were sitting outside at Starbucks having coffee, talking about radio. And all of a sudden, West Hollywood is a very gay area. I saw some transvestites come down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the weirdest transvestites I've ever seen. Guys, big burly guys wearing muscle shirts.
Right.
These guys look like they lift weights all the time. Big muscly arms and tattoos.
Only in Los Angeles.
But they also have boobs.
Right.
And one of them had a beard, but had like girls' haircut and makeup on.
That's scary.
And these guys are walking down the street going,
hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing fine. You got any gum?
And I just looked at my friend Johnny and I said, you know, I forgot how nutty this goddamn place is. You know, and you got gay guys walking down the streets together and lesbians walking down the streets together and punk rockers, but these groups of guys...
They stood there, more than one, huh?
Yes, there were three separate groups of more than three of these guys.
Muscular transvestites.
Yes.
You know what happened to these guys, don't
what?
They started out as TV extras.
I mean, transsexual is what they are.
Right.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it just weirded me out.
Mm, it's strange.
And I just got the hell out of there.
Wow.
I went to the I ended up going to the airport an hour early. I just sat there and waited for the airplane.
Crying.
No, just thinking I could have been home like 8 hours ago.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And then, you know, had the whole thing on the airplane. The airplane, like, almost being hit by lightning on the way home.
God.
And then I also had this thought fly through my head. Oh, Christ. Now, if I die, I'll be remembered for having... The reason I died is because I had to stay at Leah Remini's house. You know, it wasn't even that great.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, you know, who knows where it stands now?
Do you think
they? I would say if I was a gambling man that they've had their fill of us.
I think
they really have. You know, this show is a hit on CBS. This show doesn't need any more help, frankly. I mean, it's going to be just a consistent performer on CBS.
You think she'll call?
Well,
you called her.
Here's
what
happened.
I emailed her.
Uh-huh.
I emailed her and wrote her.
Yeah,
thank you for being so gracious,
right,
and kind. And here's what she wrote back.
Uh-huh.
Dear Don, you are very welcome. You are the easiest guest I've ever had. I think you hold the record of the guest who stayed the shortest and required nothing. I mean it. You cleaned up, sat quietly for the 4 hours you were up alone. I can't even tell you were there. You are a true gentleman. Thank you for the deli. I am so sorry that you guys were treated the way you were. If it was my show, things would have been different. Angelo was sorry he missed you. Hopefully you and Frida can make it out next time together.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again, Leah.
Okay.
It's very nice.
It's very polite, and it's, to me, it sounds like a final email. Sorry, it's just the way I'm...
Got to agree.
Yeah, just, that's that.
Got to agree.
I think, you know, hey, here's the deal, folks. We horned our way onto this show.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the well twice, and I believe the well is now dry.
I think
and,
so.
You know, frankly, the more I think about it, even with a speaking part, I'm not sure I'd want to spend a day with that director again.
Yeah, a lot of time between now and next year.
This is true.
Let's see if it happens. Mm-hmm. But that's it. You know, I still think she's great.
She's fantastic.
I think she's great.
I consider her a friend. I know you do, too. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, she's got balls. There's no way I would let a stranger come stay at my house. No. I don't care if they're on television or radio.
You know,
no way.
I'll tell you, what's come out of this is, you know, a good friendship with her. I think he's a real nice guy. You know, we don't know him as well as we know Leah. She is a terrific person, and she is a real person. She's not a phony, and I think that, you know, that's one thing that we take away from this experience. The other crap aside, you know, if you get one good person out of it, that's
yeah,
the way it is.
Well, we'll see. You know, I'm gonna leave it on her now. Charlie Broyhill said to me today, do you want to call Leah on the show? And I said, well, you know, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about our trip to Los Angeles. Why don't we just wait and play a game and see when they call us?
Mm-hmm. If they call us, that's fine, but I think we've pestered them enough.
Yeah.
It's the way we look at it.
I mean, we'll see. The show's going to air in May.
We'll talk about it when it's
of
coming
course.
Up.
So I bet we hear from them sometime between
between now and May.
Now and May.
Now and May. How long is that? 3 months?
Absolutely.
Something like that.
And as far as that one director guy, you know.
Right, F him.
F him.
Right, F him. F him sideways. Please. You know, it was just, I was up at 7 o'clock real time, 4 o'clock a.m. L.A. time. What am I... What the hell am I doing
trapped
here?
Trapped in Leah's basement.
What am I doing here? It's 80 degrees down
That's
here.
That's got to be a little slice of hell for you with no television. I mean,
yeah, right.
No television. It's like, my God, what am I going to do?
Right. I was thinking about you. Your nice big hotel room.
Hotel room. I was on my way. You know, by the time you were leaving, I was on my way to the golf course where we played on one of the, I think you would have to agree, the weather out there, the most spectacular
weather.
It was
beautiful, man.
Anywhere you could get. We had just an incredible day at this ocean golf course. It was fantastic.
That's why there were so many transvestites out. The weather was so nice.
I mean, it was one of those great weeks. I always know it's a great weekend when I come home and I think I need a liver transplant.
Well, just let me know if she calls. Or he calls.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know.
Absolutely.
Hello, Mark.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Guys.
Buddy.
My man.
Hi.
What it is.
Come on, what?
Jesus, man, you had it right there, Don. I'm telling you, man. You don't remember me. I called a couple of, about a month and a half ago.
I think this
told
is
you about this
Johnny Perverino right here.
I'm telling you, I'm the one that told you Leah was a nice number. I'm the brother, one of the few brothers from D.C. listen to the show.
No, listen, lots of brothers from D.C. listen to the show, but that's not the point.
Hey,
what is
brothers,
the point?
Man, those are fake wannabes. I'm talking about real brothers. I'm talking about, like, brother to the bone type brother. You know what I'm
listen,
saying?
Listen, I know Chocolate City. I know what you're saying, but what is the point? What can I do
the
for you?
The point is Leah Angelo wasn't there, then she brought a girlfriend in. Man, it was there for you.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
No way.
It was not there.
You know the one thing I forgot to tell you? The one thing that happened to me that I forgot to tell you is that we were driving around after golf, and I was looking for something to buy my wife. I wanted to stop by a store. We finally made it to the store, and as we're walking out of the store, my buddy tells me there was one side trip we took where I just got the hungries. You know, we're jet-lagged out. It had been a late night the night before. I buy one of those drumsticks. You know what those things are? You know, they're they're like Nutty Buddies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I thought you meant like, oh, right, right. I know what you mean.
They're called drumsticks.
Right, I know what you mean.
And in my zeal to eat the drumstick, apparently one large chunk of chocolate had fallen down between my legs, and I didn't know it. And we were going out to this Irish whiskey pub for the second night in a row. And I've got this, I didn't realize until we're in the Beverly Center.
A nice brown stain.
Either Peter or Jimmy, I don't know which one, says to me, they said, hey, did you have an accident? And I actually walk up in the department store to a mirror and pull my pants away, and I have it was chocolate, okay?
Right.
But it looked like I had made a BM in my pants, and we're going out to the place after we leave. I have no options here, right? I have no options. I don't have a towel. I don't have anything. All I could do was just pull my pants leg around. I'm wearing khakis. And I pull my pants leg around so that hopefully it's going to be in between my legs so it won't be visible.
Right.
And then the next time I went to the men's room in this whiskey pub, I looked around and it had worked its way back right where my butt is. And it looked seriously like I'd had a major accident in my pants. And I just wanted to share. That was the only embarrassing moment that I had on the weekend.
Hello, Trevor.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Hey. Hey, what?
Trevor?
Trevor, yeah. What can we do for you?
I am glad you guys are not talking to Leah anymore. She's a pain in the neck, man.
No, we're not.
She's so
not that we're,
you guys are talking with her.
No, it's not that we're not talking to her anymore. It's just we feel like they perhaps the, you know, we've overstayed that welcome.
You know, we have said that all along about us and
celebrities that it would happen.
That it always reaches a point.
But fortunately, it may be have reached a point where we're not, you know, calling her all the time and she's not going to be on the show all the time. But I think we still have a friendship with her, and so it hasn't blown up beyond that.
Right, we'll see. We'll see if she calls.
She's okay, but I mean, you guys are done with her. Let's get rid of her. Let's go on something else. She's a pain in the neck.
Okay. Thank you, Trevor.
There is.
That's our audience.
I'm glad. I'm glad you guys are done talking to her. I hope you guys are.
Okay, well, if we're not, what will you do about it?
Well, nothing. I'm not going to do anything about it. I just won't listen to your show. I'm sick of you guys talking to her. She's a pain in the neck.
Well, I think a lot of people enjoy our conversations with her.
I don't think so. Mm. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Hold on. Have you ever heard this tape? It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
That's true. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, boy.
With his radio on in the background, I'm listening to himself. A-hole.
Thank you.
Hello, David.
Sorry, I'm still a little jet-lagged.
David.
Yes, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to call and tell you, I know the true identity of Sharon, and I don't think you're going to be happy with hearing this. She's not 18. She's mean actually the, 17.
The girl who stirred the soup?
Yeah.
There's no way she's not even 18, buddy. She's like 21.
Okay, is she...
You are thinking of a different girl.
I'm thinking of the girl who definitely did the thing on in the car that time. And if you said it was the same person, then she's 17.
The girl we are talking about, first off, how would you know?
She's my ex-girlfriend.
She's your ex-girlfriend. How old are you?
I'm 19.
You're full of crap.
So you say she's walking around with a fake ID?
Did she give you a fake ID?
Well, hey, we have to ask Charlie.
Okay.
Listen, I don't know about you, Mr. 19-year-old who dates 17-year-olds, but I tell you that this girl who came in today who works at a strip club, there's no way that she's underage.
No.
All right. What's wrong with the age difference, the two-year age difference?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with a grown man dating a high school girl.
Grown man.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
get your age divided by two.
There's nothing wrong with a guy who should be in college dating a girl who's maybe a junior in high school.
She's a senior, actually. And that's if she still goes.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm pretty sure it's not the same girl.
Well, I happen to know for a fact the girl who did it in the car came up and talked to me about it later.
Okay, well,
as it
turns out, this girl, you know, we've had many girls stir the soup on this show.
But Sharon, if she's the same person who did it in the car...
You know, I got news, like, can I enlighten you as to something that most of the girls that come in and participate in any of the reindeer games, they don't necessarily use their real name.
Okay? I don't doubt that. If it's the same person who was in the car in August.
And your girlfriend is named Sharon.
No, it was my ex-girlfriend.
Cheyenne.
And that's her real name?
I mean, if that's the case, you know, I don't want him to do that. If this is a person that didn't want their name on, then...
Well, I don't think that he knew the girl.
Yeah, who knows?
I think he was talking about somebody else.
Why are we talking to this idiot anyway?
Johnny Helper.
I don't know. He had to just delete all of that out.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Who knows?
How come so many jagoffs are calling us today?
I don't know. A bunch of jags.
Okay, well, now the phones are all discombobulated.
Sorry about that.
Do a break. I know. I think they deleted that out anyway.
Right.
Good.
I didn't even have to hit the button. I think somebody in the back room did.
Okay, wonderful.
That's why the phones are dead.
Well, I enjoyed when we talked to Leah Remini, frankly, and I don't understand why that guy was saying that.
Oh, F him. I don't care what he thinks.
F him, F ball.
Let's do a break, and we will come right back.
He's the Dawn.
He was asking if you got a hold of Leah's breasts. I think that's what he was asking.
No, I did not. I did not. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Don, Mike, how you guys doing?
Luke, buddy, hi there.
Oh, I'm doing good, buddy. I've been trying to call you guys about 2 months, and I'm finally just now getting in.
Right, okay, make it worthwhile.
Oh, I just want to call about that dude, Trevor. He's an idiot.
Which dude is Trevor?
The one that said, oh, I'm glad you're done with Leah, she's a blah, 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 you know? Anybody with that kind of feeling towards a woman like that
is
an AK loser.
Listen, don't worry. We don't pay attention to the Trevors of this world.
We don't pay attention to him just like we don't pay attention to you. Thank you. We'll do the show every day the best way that we know how. Thank you, though.
All right. Yeah, have a good day.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Hello, Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with that last guy. I know you said not to call about this, but this dick. I mean, what more can Leah Remini do for you? She's a nice woman. I wish I had her on my side. You guys are honored to know this woman.
Well, let's not go crazy.
What's your point?
My point is that she opened her home to you twice, Don. You should, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you weren't grateful, but I'm saying this guy Trevor is an asshole.
Okay, well, listen, I got news for you, honey. Lots of assholes listen to this show every day. What do you want me to do about it? One guy called.
Well,
why are you getting your panties in a lot about it?
Just say something about that awful
You're the
Trevor.
Share lady anyway.
Huh?
You're the share lady anyway.
Yeah, I am.
Call all the time.
Oh, share lady. Yeah. Come on, share lady. Listen, the only time I want to hear from you is when you act like Cher.
They say our love won't pay the rent before it's gone. Our money's all been spent.
You know, I'm mad at her.
Thank you, Cher lady. Please. Hello, Don and Mike. Neil.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, I'm thinking you might have just got a little upset because you didn't get to witness Jackie making soup when Leah took her shirt off.
I don't know if I want to see Jackie making soup.
Man, I'll tell you, Boomhauer. You know, you construct
click, 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 make soup.
Yeah, you construct that old fantasy of your own time right now. Come on, click.
Hello, Lance.
Hey, Donnie Mike.
Lance Boyle, hello.
Hey, did you see any slingshots at Leah's house? In a thong.
What do you mean, underpants or anything? No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see any of her slingshots. I am sorry to disappoint
yes.
the great majority of our audience, but no, I did not see her underpants or her bras
or her tampons. If Mr. Geronimo had attempted to proceed with the behavior that I believe most of these men are requiring right now, you know, you probably would have had a black and white police cruiser out in front of the house in the morning.
Yeah, right, and my wife would be on the phone to Mr. Johnny Cochran to divorce my ass. No, I didn't see her underpants or anything.
Did you hear a BM? No?
No, I will tell you that I did listen, and I did not hear anything to hear a sound because I was sitting...
You had no TV. You had to listen. I mean, all you had was your ears.
I was sitting down on her steps when I heard... when I heard her wake up, and I thought... And I thought, I will listen to hear if I can hear her going to the bathroom. Okay. I will tell you that I listened for that and I didn't hear it.
All right.
All right. Sorry, Lance.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Peter. Right.
Sorry to disappoint. Hello. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Don Mike.
How come nobody's upset that we got treated like crap out there?
Nobody cares.
Nobody's upset about that.
They know we were just lucky to be out there anyway.
Hello, Tony.
We're in Hollywood, yeah. But Leah's great when she calls up on the phone.
Yes, of course. Listen, there's no need to call and defend her.
She'll be on the show again.
Oh, good, yeah, because she'll probably call this week.
Pardon me?
She'll probably call this week.
She'll probably call this week. It's Scooter. whether she calls or not, we'll take the call. But there is no need to get into an ongoing discussion about her.
Thank you, though. Great.
All right, goodbye. Hello. Hello, Jeremy.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, Jeremy.
Hey, you fat bastards. Hey, I was wondering about Leah's house. Was it decorated with...
I'm sorry. I'm going to go on record here and say that I'm tired of that. I'm tired of these people that call and say that. I forbid it. You're not allowed to say that to us anymore.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was wondering...
What is it that gets you most, the fat or the bastard?
Well, the fact that fat bastard is an occasional character on the show. That had nothing to do with me having my feelings hurt. But fat bastard, I think he soils the name of fat bastard when he refers
and
to
the
him
brother
as fat
dumb bastard. The other brother stupid bastard.
His twin brother. The second of triplets.
The bastard children.
That's right. The other one, I forgot what the other bastard was.
No, there's dumb bastard.
There's fat bastard.
And stupid bastard.
Stupid bastard. And then there were several other
bastards. There's all kinds.
Insufferable.
Bastard?
Yes, there was insufferable bastard. Yeah. That's right. Crazy bastard.
Crazy bastard. Yeah, okay, what, Jeremy?
I was wondering, was Leah's house, was it decorated with any memorabilia from her days on Saved by the Bell?
And that's the first good question we've gotten about your stay there.
All I saw was the basement, where she had, like, pictures of herself in People magazine. That's all I saw was the basement and the room with the TV.
And it should be made clear that when you went to the basement, immediately the very elaborate security system was put on. With the lasers, with the entrapment lasers.
Right away. Hello.
So that if one foot had set up on the main level, not even the second level... He's left his room.
Don and Mike.
I just wanted to compliment Buzz a little bit earlier. Buzz, you had a double pun that nobody caught that I thought was just slap nuts funny, man.
What was the slap nuts funny?
Ouch.
Because when you, when you were talking about being in San Francisco and you were seeing all the big gay men walking down the street and Buzz said they were...
Well, no, not San Francisco. You mean when he was in West Hollywood?
I'm sorry, West Hollywood.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Buzz said they were former TV extras. That's a double pun. Nobody got it.
I think
they got it.
I think you're thinking too much.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
I think so.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing that.
You didn't mean that as a double-edged pun, did you?
No, not a double-edged pun. Just a
I understand the concept. TV could mean transvestite or television.
Were you aware of TV being transvestite when you said it?
After I said it, I was aware of it.
Oh,
I didn't
said
plan it that way. I just said that, you know, being a TV extra in Hollywood will drive you to that behavior. That's all. And now that we've explained it, isn't it funny?
Thank you very much.
And I appreciate Mr. Burbank's honesty. It would have been very easy for him to say, yes, I planned it all the way.
A little autopsy for that joke.
You know, I thought it was a fine comment. I don't know if I define it as slap nuts funny.
That was funny. An autopsy for the joke. That was funny.
That's slap nuts funny.
Yeah, that is slap nuts
funny. I'm slapping my nuts right now.
No jokes are funny once the autopsy's done.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, is Leah wearing anything under her BJs?
The answer, I believe, is no, but I don't know for sure, okay?
Well, was she flopping around, walking around the house?
I don't know.
That is a legitimate question. I'm sorry. All right, that first question, I thought
there was not a lot of floppage.
Was it apparent to you? Now, you know the answer to this. Be the first thing that was on your mind. Was she wearing a bra underneath her pajama top? You know you looked.
No.
She
hugged you.
She was not wearing a bra.
I remember you
she
said
was not wearing a bra. And I was not wearing a bra either. On behalf of that gentleman and me, thank you.
Carl, last call.
Don, did you strategically reroute anything from Leah's house into your belongings?
Did I steal anything?
No. Yeah.
Now that is also slap nuts funny.
That is funny.
Thank you. No, I didn't have to. So she gave me a nice gift for my wife. So
strategically reroute.
I didn't have to steal anything. Thank you.
You disappoint me.
I'm sorry. I'm disappointing everybody today.
This is horrible.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye, Carl.
All right. The audience is not happy with us today. Sorry, audience.
Hey, you know it happens. It happens once in a while. It's real. We're just saying what happened.
Sorry. I know you really wanted me to come back and tell you I J-O'd in every room of her house and smelled her car seat and smelled her duty underpants and licked her tampons, but I'm sorry.
It's what they crave.
I'm sorry. I didn't. Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight, it has been a day of serious sniping between the president and the NRA.
Right. Gotcha.
Showdown.
Okay.
All righty.
Showdown. Good.
I didn't drink her urine, okay?
Maybe next time.
I'm sorry. I didn't pop her zit and eat it.
Hey, Don, did you steal her car and take it to the airport?
I did none of that. So I'm very pedestrian. Everybody, please stay tuned now.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
The news and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Don't take a kick for friends. This is the Don and Mike Show.
United Wichita.
Looking forward to it.
Tomorrow on this show. Now, here's an interesting guest.
Mm-hmm.
The lady, the producer behind the VH1 show Behind the Music.
Love that show.
I do love it. I do, and I love Behind the Music too, which is now a new show that they're doing. I think this week is going to be Smash Mouth on Behind the Music too.
Very cool.
Watched a great Behind the Music over the weekend. Poison. You ever see the Poison one?
No, I don't. Wait, do they run that at all hours? Is that when they run that?
That's
show?
Virtually all they run on VH1 now is Behind the Music.
I've got to log a little more time with my VH1.
Well, the lady who is behind those shows will be coming on tomorrow to talk about that. Now, here is Guy Birdley.
This thing that started yesterday has been escalating all day today. The words keep getting angrier between President Clinton and the National Rifle Association. This evening, the president is accusing the NRA of smear tactics for questioning his motives on gun control. He says he thinks they've made a horrible political mistake, and he also refers to their slash-and-burn lobbying technique. One of the Sunday talk shows yesterday, NRA official Wayne LaPierre said the president tolerates some gun violence in order to further his political agenda. He was saying the president capitalizes on gun violence for political means. The White House fired back, calling LaPierre's comments a sick attack. A sick attack made up of charges that are outrageous and disgusting. Al Gore piped in today, since he was included in that attack.
Here's what Al Gore said. Me wants to be president.
He also called it sick.
Me, I'm working out.
He does look pretty good. And demanded an apology. Maybe you could rough him up. The NRA is running new ads in which Charlton Heston all but accuses the president of lying about the gun group.
I can't help but laugh when you say Charlton Heston. I always forget he said it to the NRA.
He's back. Yes.
Charlton Heston.
It wasn't nut slapping, but I believe you had another double pun there.
Really?
The White House fired back.
Yes. That's a gun.
I want to point out those double puns, those nut slappers in advance.
Fire back.
Well, the fines against airlines for safety violations were up at least 80% last year, according to USA Today.
Oh, God.
The paper says airlines were fined $9.5 million last year and that fines were handed out at the rate of 8 per day.
No problem, Mike. We're flying Alaska Air to Wichita.
All right.
Yeah. Lucky us again. America West paid the most money, nearly $2.8 million in fines. America West says those days are behind them. Delta was fined the most often, 177 times. Delta says that's because it flies the most people. Continental was fined the least amount of money.
I'll tell you, this pilot I had on United coming back to D.C. on Saturday.
He saved you.
This guy was a friggin' superhero, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were in a lightning and thunderstorm, and all of a sudden he got on the radio and just said,
This is the captain. I want to be a flight attendant to have a seat now. Buckle up. Wake everybody up. Get their seatbelts on. We're going in.
And I mean, boom, we were on the ground. That guy was a fantastic pilot.
Good for him.
That was a good flight team.
Who takes charge like that. How'd you like to have been on this flight? A United Airlines 767 took off from Los Angeles, headed for Hawaii with 254 people on board. 2 hours into the trip, a mechanical glitch, a pressurization problem, forced the pilot to turn the plane around and fly the 2 hours back to Los Angeles. The passengers got on a different 767 and took off again.
Isn't that about halfway to Hawaii anyway?
Yeah, from Los Angeles it is, as a matter of fact.
So why wouldn't you just have gone to Hawaii instead of go all the way back to L.A.?
I don't know. I don't speak for the airline. 2 hours...
Did the people from King of Queens have anything to do with this?
2 hours into the second flight, the pilot turned the plane around again and headed back to Los Angeles. This time, the passengers were told that it was a medical emergency. One passenger says the emergency turned out to be a first-class passenger with a swollen finger.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
La, 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 la. Oh, really? His finger hurts?
Yes.
Joe, turn the plane around again.
Get to know Charlie.
Hey, Joe, maybe if we turn the plane around, we'll get a brand new plane again. That'll be the third flight today.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
La, la, la. What is it, Joe? This is your captain speaking. We have a medical emergency. A boo-boo on his finger. We're turning around now. Sorry, you won't be getting Hawaii on time.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
I love flying a plane on the ocean.
After a third takeoff, the plane arrived in Hawaii 13 hours late.
I'm sorry. Let's see.
The animal rights group PETA is in the news again, this time for an ad campaign about milk.
Ah, PETA.
Claiming that drinking milk is cruel to cows, PETA's running ads that urge college students to drink beer instead.
All right.
The Got Beer campaign uses a mustache made of foam instead of moo juice. Mothers Against Drunk Driving has asked PETA to stop the ads. MAD thinks they encourage underage drinking. That's what happens when politically correct groups collide.
I just want to say something right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for protecting some animals. I want to say something. Cows are made to eat. We are made to eat the cows. Okay, that's why we make cows.
And certainly, so milking a cow, I would think the cow probably enjoys that.
We were put on earth for the cow's teats to give us milk and for us to broil and barbecue the various body parts of that animal.
Mm. If you don't milk a cow, the udder bursts. And that's sort of cruel, too.
Rob Spiewak lived on a farm once, and he knows that, right? Didn't you live around
farms?
Well,
I know from my grandfather. Yeah,
yes, grandfather.
He grew cows.
You understand that.
He grew cows.
Cows are here to be on our dinner table.
He grew cows. Grew cows and raised tomatoes.
Yes.
Well, the dairy farmers point out that an unhappy cow doesn't give milk, so it wouldn't be in their economic interest in this treat.
Christ, don't worry about animals that care.
Right.
Okay? Cows don't. Care.
Rob grew up playing with a three-headed calf. People don't realize that.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yep. Cows sit out in the field all day and say, you know what, someday I'm going to be a Whopper. How about you? Well, someday I'm going to be a Big Mac. How about you? They could give a rat's ass. Cows.
If your brand of beer is Miller, get ready for the plastic bottles.
I'd love to eat cow.
I really do. I had great steak the other night.
Great cow.
Yeah, cow's good. Cow is good food.
Mm-hmm.
Miller says it will sell 3 of its beers in 16 and 20-ounce plastic bottles soon.
Now, why does that bother you, Rob?
It bothers Rob for the same reason it bothers me.
Yeah,
and,
me
this, and this is the memory of Mr. Chris Schenkel, who used to tell us that the good taste of beer, it comes in a bottle.
Right.
Amen, brother.
A bottle can be made of plastic.
This is the same company, I should tell you, that gave us the clear bottle. Yeah.
Right. That's also bad.
Dark glass.
So you need it in dark glass to keep all the harmful rays of the sun from spoiling the brew.
And light in general, which makes the beer taste skunky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so true.
A bad thing.
Yeah, it is a bad thing. That's why Buzz is included in his newscast.
That's right.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Miller is America's second biggest brewer, and it says the reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. Tested the idea in the past year and a half in a dozen different cities. Industry leader Anheuser-Busch rejected the plastic bottles after it tested the idea.
I don't like him.
I would say the only reason it would be positive would be if you, Lord knows, late one evening, the thing slips out of your hand. You're going to be able to salvage most of it.
I think you're going to see these sold a lot in stadiums, like Yankee Stadium maybe would be one place they might consider selling plastic bottles. Miller says...
Won't be popular among the people on Cops, on the TV show Cops. They love breaking out a bottle and go running in the front yard in their white beater T-shirt.
Come on! Come on! Sick, sick, sick!
Come out there right now!
Look at that! I got a weapon now! Hello.
I'm not fond of plastic because it breathes, and I think sometimes the liquid inside picks up the flavor of the plastic, but Miller says plastic keeps the beer colder and longer than cans do.
I'll give you a second smile. You come over here.
Thank God I was drinking out of a plastic cup on the airplane. When we were on our way to Los Angeles, we had to watch that awful Pierce Brosnan movie.
Oh, yeah, the movie, what was it, with the head?
Gray Owl. Yeah, believable movie. Pierce Brosnan, you know, the James Bond.
Right. He's supposed to play a half-breed Indian.
I'm not kidding.
Say no more.
Is it any wonder that that movie was in the theaters for 5 minutes? Hello, Pony. That was his girlfriend.
She was hot.
Oh.
Hello, Pony.
She was pretty.
I'm out to catch some beavers. And I'm going to make their pants into beautiful clothing because I'm an Indian. Say what?
And the only thing that was true is at the end of the movie, it turns out he has no Indian in him at all. He's not a Native American at all. And that was the first time that, that's plausible. But wouldn't you think that it's based on a true story that the real guy probably had to look a little more like a Native American?
It looked like James Bond with pigtails. and he didn't even work on an Indian accent. It was like he was doing his thing in the rowboat going, "My, this is a beautiful time of year. Mm-hmm. I love being an Indian. Cheerio."
Didn't work.
Bull ass.
Didn't work. Yep. They could have gotten a better actor.
Thank God I had a plastic bottle I was drinking out of.
No sense hiring a real Native American.
Well, I would have busted it wide open. Buzz, time out, please.
Okay.
Time out. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared.
Hey, Zeiger.
Larry.
Yep.
Zeiger.
Sorry, don't want to rephrase that.
They're just men, flesh and bone. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzz, I'm going to warn you, this is going to be a short segment.
All right. Well, I have one.
Thank you for that segment, Buzz.
All right. See you in a minute.
Okay. No.
Go ahead. One more drinking story. It's the biggest change in British drinking laws since World War I. Soon, English pubs, hotels, and restaurants will be able to serve alcohol around the clock.
Yes.
The police are actually happy about this.
Yeah. When are you moving there, Mike?
Probably next month.
I'm working my British accent. Hello, it's 3 a.m. I'm here for dinner.
Hello.
I'm ginger spice.
Hello.
The police say this will end.
Pull me finger.
Oh, there she goes. Oh, how foul.
The police say this change will end the binge drinking that often precedes the 11 o'clock closing time in pubs.
Line them up, boys.
That usually,
it's almost 11 o'clock.
Usually creates a rush hour for the cops. It's right. What with all the fights that follow a drinking binge.
Did you say farts?
I did in a British sort of way, didn't I?
Hello. Nothing like that binge drinking. They line up the bed and they proceed to fart. Hello, I'm Ginger Spice. Yeah. Someone say fart.
Oh, we know you do, Ginger. We know you love to break wind.
Pull me finger.
I will. Here we go. Tug away.
Oh,
lovely, Ginger.
And if you like, I'll make a fussy pot for you.
Oh, please do. Let's see what that says. What shall I pull for that one?
Pull me toe.
Here we go.
Here's a nice fussy pot.
Listen to that fussy pot. The new law is expected to go into effect early next year.
No tally-ho.
And Paul McCartney is once again one of the richest musicians in the world, thanks to the money left behind by his late wife, Linda.
Hello.
The New York Post.
This is Linda Eastman. Speaking to you from the grave.
Oh, hello, Linda. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Loved you on that song where they isolated your voice, Hey Jude.
Hello.
You sound just like Ginger Spice.
The New York Post.
Unlimited.
How do you greet people in England? What do you say to them?
Hello.
The New York Post.
Pull me finger.
Says Linda left her entire fortune of more than $230 million to Paul, and it says she arranged her finances so he wouldn't have to pay taxes on that money.
Yoko's a bitch. Hello.
I agree.
Linda filed her will in New York State and kept up her U.S. citizenship.
I'd like to point out, you just said Yoko.
You did indeed.
I'm sorry.
There's the Yoko alarm.
Hello.
The Yoko alarm has been sounded.
Hello, this is Linda. I was just talking to John. He's so glad he's dead. He doesn't have to hear this anymore.
Hear the Yoko alarm?
Bloody rubbish.
Oh, who stepped on the cat?
Hello.
Surprised Peter puts up with this.
Hey, I've just put Andrew a note.
Yes?
Linda was American. Hello.
Hello.
Well, maybe she's one of those people who got the accent after they lived over there a while.
I would imagine if you spent enough time in the UK, you'd end up talking like them.
Hello.
She didn't keep up her U.S. citizenship, though, which allowed her to set up a complicated trust fund that helped avoid a British inheritance tax of nearly 40%.
You'd go over there liking hamburgers, and by the time you were done, you'd like strawberries.
The paper says Paul's new estimated fortune is close to $1 billion.
Time out, boss.
All right.
Hello.
A tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
You're right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
With her two kids, O'Donnell says she fell and all 185 pounds of her landed on her hand.
185 pounds.
That's what she said.
185 pounds. That wrist was broken by a 218-pound weight.
At least she still has a show. Roseanne's show will be canceled at the end of this season. After just 2 years, Martin Short's talk show has also just been canceled.
Oh,
I know you're crushed. You're all crushed.
We love Martin Short.
Yeah.
I do love that. You were right about that Jiminy Glick, though.
That's funny. You ever seen that?
It's basically a Merv Griffin impression.
It is where Martin Short puts on all this fat guy makeup, really good makeup,
right?
And he interviews celebrities, big celebrities, and he's fantastic because he asks them nothing about what they're really doing. All he does is throw in stories about himself and old Hollywood. He was interviewing Steve Martin one day last week.
And it's Merv, right? Isn't it Merv?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Merv Griffin.
There you go.
He was interviewing Steve Martin, but he kept referring to him as Steve Rossi. I kept asking him what it was like to work with Marty Allen. And it's funny because it wasn't ha-ha funny.
Right.
It's a funny premise, and they have balls to put it on television.
Right. Jiminy Glick.
Jiminy Glick.
An Alabama newspaper says it appears that Britney Spears lip-synced her way through a lot of her concert in Birmingham last week.
You know, her boobs are so fake.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mention, I saw her new video over the weekend, and they had a side view of Britney Spears. She does not have 18-year-old girl boobs. Mm-hmm. She has, ever seen the movie Showgirls?
Right.
Yeah. Britney Spears has big, full breasts. They are 100% fake.
She's still denying.
This little girl had knocker.
She's still denying that she's had augmentation,
no.
And there have been people who have said that, you know, doctors won't do augmentation on a girl who's still growing when she's 17 or 18 years old.
She didn't have a growth spurt, Buzz. Those are gigantic fake milkshake machines.
Okay.
Not complaining, just telling you. I've noticed they're gigantic.
They sure look fake. They look fake. Now the accusation is that her concerts are faked as well. In its review Friday, the Birmingham paper said the show looked like a badly dubbed movie or a cheap cartoon, the mouth not matching the vocals. Concert promoters wouldn't comment, and Britney's publicist wouldn't return a phone call.
I've got news for you. About 90% of concerts now are supplemented with that kind of stuff, if not all of it.
And most concerts have that in some degree. The concerts that are mostly pre-recorded, those are the ones that upset people. Everybody, I think, these days expects at least a little bit of that in each concert.
Not Zamfir. That's the real deal.
It reminds me, last night, I'm laying in bed with Frida, and she's reading the New York newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get the New York newspaper now since we're on WNEW. And she was flipping through the Sunday paper, and she found some concert that had, Elton John and Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
And a bunch of other people who I could give a rat's ass about seeing. And she said, she's just making conversations. She said, why don't we go to this concert? This would be a good concert to go to. And I was just tired, and I rolled over, and I said, no, I wouldn't go to a concert with any of those people if you paid me. And then she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I just want to go to sleep.
And be left alone.
I'm thinking about going to New York to do the show. You're thinking about buying tickets to go see Saturday Night Fever on Broadway. That's fine. Just buy the tickets.
Right.
But I'm not going to the stupid show that incidentally it had like the Platters. All these lame-o groups. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me just give her a chance to tell you the lineup. Because it was a real moment.
Hello?
Hey, hi, bud. Is mommy there?
Wait there.
Hello, Bart.
Hello?
You got me. How are you, Bart?
I don't appreciate that.
Hello? Bart Schwartz.
I won't even tell you about his night last night, or his night on Friday night. Out until 1:30 in the morning.
Please,
uh-oh. Out until 1:30 a.m. on a date.
No.
Is that past curfew?
Oh, yeah. Way past curfew. What are you doing, Barty?
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Hey, remember last night you were reading that New York newspaper?
Yeah.
Who were some of those lame people in that ad for that concert you wanted to go to?
Elton John, Billy Joel.
Oh, that was it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, honey. That's what started it, because I said, Billy Joel, two words. Has been.
Oh, God.
And then we got into a whole Billy Joel riff.
No, you wouldn't like to go to a concert with Billy Joel?
No. Tom Jones. You know, there were a whole...
No, that was Jones. The one... Now, what did I say?
I said
I would take you to Las Vegas.
I don't want to go to Las Vegas. I was just saying this was a concert. New York is a lot closer than Las Vegas. This had a whole bunch of people into it. You know, and you're the same as me. We don't like sitting through an entire concert of one person because, you know, you hear a couple of their hits and you're done. But so it would be better to have it sprinkled through different hits of a multitude of people than go to Las Vegas and see just one guy.
Well, I said Tom Jones. He's the man. I would go to see a Tom Jones concert. And I swear to God, that's entertainment.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa.
Who wants to sit through Billy Joel's tired songs about being in love with Christy Brinkley and
well, that was a bad period.
We're living here in Allentown.
He would just do a few hits. It was a whole bunch.
You are a DJ. I'll tell you. You identify Billy Joel at his weakest moments to further your argument.
I truly do.
You don't go to the early Billy Joel. It's just classic, classic music or some of his, you know, real good hits. You pick two of his real pig songs.
Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
He's been living in an uptown. Town world, please.
Okay, well, since you've named three Billy Joel songs, which three Tom Jones songs would you like to hear?
I love It's Not Unusual,
mm-hmm.
Delilah,
mm-hmm.
What's New Pussycat,
mm-hmm.
Daughter of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's four. Do you think Tom Jones does more than four songs in his show?
Kiss.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, my Kiss five.
There you go, five. And then how many would Billy Joel do if he's doing a whole concert for the radio?
Well, first of all, I'd have
other people.
First of all, I have to sit through his goddamn 20-minute version of Piano Man.
You think he'd do that in a concert with a dozen people that he'd play 20 minutes just him and his worst songs?
Listen, Billy Joel, honey, listen.
You know what?
He is a has-been.
Forget I asked you to do anything. I didn't even want to go. I just said that would be fun, and you have to argue with me about everything.
I wasn't arguing.
Where's the concert?
It was in New York.
Like at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't want to go see Billy Joel.
All right, Chucky, I'm not asking you to do anything.
All right, I love you.
All right, good. Bye.
Hello? There you go. Right.
Well, we're living here in Washington.
Allentown.
Yeah, but it feels like Washington right now.
Precious.
I give you your props. You're coming up with the Billy Joel stickers.
For the longest time.
Oh, God. All right. You've done it. You've officially sold the argument.
Billy Joel blows.
For the longest time.
For the longest time. Hey, I've got an idea. I'm going to do some doo-wop now. Doo-wop, and then I'm going to do a song with Ray Charles.
Now he's doing classical music.
We didn't start the fire. Now, I like that one. We liked that song. You liked it, too.
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown out of that one.
Ding, 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 ding. We used to know the lyrics. We used to have the lyrics. That was a bit we used to do on the show.
We used to have all the words written down, and people would call up and say, do the words to We Can't Start the Fire.
And you would have a file of them and then, like, throw the lyrics over to me. We both have copies, and we do all the lyrics.
Pathetic.
The movie business.
Rock and roll and cola was. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, no, children of thalidomide. That's a line we always remember.
Of course.
Buzz, hold on. I'm sorry we got terribly off topic there.
That's all right.
Terribly off topic. Blame it all on King of Queens.
Yes.
and the shabby way that we were treated by that show this week.
That's for sure.
Time out. We'll come back. Buzz, one more segment right after this.
America's favorite wingnut, Don and Mike.
Hi. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Police in Florida have arrested a guy who was running a dental practice from the back of his 1980 Ford Mustang. They say Oscar Alfredo Lopez was using homemade drills that he never sterilized. And they say his lab, which was located in his efficiency apartment, was littered with rusted out car parts. Lopez has been charged with practicing dentistry without a license and unlawful possession of controlled substances like Novocaine. A native of Guatemala, Lopez has no medical or dental training. He moved to Florida 9 months ago after facing similar charges in California.
This will not hurt a bit.
Reuters reports that 6 months ago, a Miami woman was arrested for running a dental office in her garage. In Glenside, Pennsylvania, Beaver College is thinking about changing its name.
Why?
As the president of Beaver wrote in her letter to the students, the faculty, and the alumni, the word Beaver too often elicits ridicule and remarks pertaining to the rodent, the TV show, and the female anatomy.
Nice bush.
To make matters worse, students who use computers with porn filtering software are often unable to find the college's website.
And speaking of beavers, I would just like to point everybody listening to us in the D.C. area that you are about to be hit with the barrage.
Right.
That the beavers are once again coming in the tidal basin. They're going to be eating the cherry blossom trees.
Yes, and the local news producers are just in a tither because they're so excited.
And every goddamn disc jockey within the morning after his name is going to be doing double entendre shtick about beavers. So just be advised, it's coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get out of the way of it.
Go down and see the beavers at the tidal basin.
Oh, Jackson.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's great, great. Go see the beavers. Yeah, well, I'm just too naughty. Just too darn naughty. Gosh, I love my new wife.
So hot.
High school students, you know, trying to do research on which college they're going to go to, they can't pull up the Beaver College on the computer because of the porn filtering software. And market research shows that a third of the students who decide not to go to Beaver make that decision based on the name. Graduates are often ashamed to put up the diplomas in their offices.
Who can blame them? My God. Where'd you go, Beaver?
The only bright spot, the campus bookstore reports it does a good business selling the school's sweatshirts. And a guy at Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts is trying to get the school to set up co-ed dorms, but not for the reason you might think. Carl Sciortino Jr. is gay, and he says that if they'd let him room with a girl, he'd be less likely to get a crush on his roommate. But school officials say they're still more worried about male-female relationships in co-ed dorms.
Thank you, Buzz.
Hey,
hold on now. Toe-tapping, touch tones. Right there.
All right.
Yeah. Time for caller 100. A prize package we've selected especially for you and a shot at $1,000.
Serious money.
Lie straight ahead if you're the 100th person to call Toya. Good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Mike Show.
Now, back to the Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
You can understand them if you're a mastermind. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzy. In sports, Dan Marino has decided not to go to Minnesota or anywhere else. After 17 years as the Miami quarterback, Marino is retiring. The 38-year-old has bad knees after setting NFL records. Those include nearly 5,000 passes for over 61,000 yards.
You're very good.
420 touchdowns.
Great quarterback.
Great quarterback, great pitchman.
You're very good.
The NBA has handed out its first and probably not its last fines for coaches refusing to wear microphones during a game.
Two more coaches yesterday. Who was it?
Paul Westfall of the Supersonics.
And the Toronto coach.
Butch Carter from Toronto. Both ignored the new rule during the nationally televised game.
Good for them. Who cares what the coach says?
The fine's actually assessed against the teams, but Westfall says he'll pay it out of his own pocket. He says wearing a mic would hamper his ability to coach, and he's worried that tapes of his instructions to the players will be used by other teams. The NBA and NBC are trying to boost their ratings, which have dropped off sharply since Michael Jordan retired.
Okay, you want to boost the ratings? Here's what you do. Every week, you put on the L.A. Lakers,
right,
Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe, and you put on Toronto with Vince Carter.
The Lakers go for their 19th straight win tonight against Denver.
That's it.
And you give Vince Carter a new nickname.
Spike?
Sergeant.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
Always, you're always thinking, Mike. I like that.
Thank you.
Finally, there was a fire in a townhouse in Landover, Maryland yesterday.
Let his sister get involved.
His sister?
He don't know.
Give me a break.
There was a fire in a townhouse in Landover, Maryland yesterday. We don't normally cover fires, but this one's different. In this one, two different volunteer fire departments showed up. The fire was out in short order, and damage was limited to $1,400. And then the fight broke out. A fist fight over which fire company got there first. Washington, D.C.'s Channel 4 reports that by the time the fight was over, there were dented walls, broken chairs, and other damage totaling $3,000. More than double the damage from the fire.
Hey.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Excellent. Well done.
Done.
Another moment too soon.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
I know you could do a whole nother show fresh right now.
I could.
But that's it. Got to go see you tomorrow. We'll be doing a whole segment on VH1 Behind the Music with the producer of that show.
Good.
See you Friday in Wichita, a live Las Vegas-style show, and a show during the day, a regular show from the studios of KFH.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. Correctamundo.
Right. Good night.
La la la.
Adios.
La la la.
Au revoir.
La la la.
I'll be the same.
I'm surprised you didn't play Hooray for Hollywood tonight.
I was waiting for Leah to call, but
yeah.
She never called.
The call that never came.
Hello, what's your name, my friend?
My name is Gene.
Gene, where are you from?
Spokane.
Spokane, Washington. Listen on K-Fan Radio. Gene, you've won the WCW Thunder Prize Pack. Do you like the wrestling?
I'll watch it.
Don't miss WCW Thunder at the Patriot Center Tuesday night. Goldberg, many other wrestlers. Everybody in D.C. for tickets, call 202-432-C. But wait, there's more. You have also qualified for the free money Friday. Random drawing, giving away $1,000 from onmoney.com. Please make sure you're listening to the whole show on Friday.
We like free.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for listening in Spokane. Have a great night. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
You nut-slapping punster. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Don.
Robbie, throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, just like Billy, Tyler, Moore.
You might just make it as
Yeah, both of us.
Okay.
All right, both of us. Send us outside. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Encore with Don and Mike on Hot Talk 1330 KFH.
All right, we need the info...